talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
If you listen carefully, we will prove our ability to transfer our thoughts to you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
This thong gives me an ass rash, but the boys love it.
That's easy for you to say.
No, it wasn't. I struggled through that sentence.
And now,
what's that song called about the grandma getting run over by a reindeer?
Grandma got run over by a reindeer?
No.
Our feature presentation.
No, that's not it.
Nope, that's not it. Hey, party people, it's Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, it's Thursday everywhere, but you can give us a call to get on the air with us. If you can listen to the show, you can be part of the show at 1-800-520-1067. That is our toll-free number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew, and we'll take your calls in a minute. Kevin, you ready to hear the funniest thing you're going to hear all day, maybe all week?
Yeah.
Say hello to Lisa May.
Good morning, Kevin.
What happened?
I don't know.
My
voice started going yesterday, and then it left.
I know what happened. She wore that dumb hat yesterday, and God is making a statement. God
is that what it is?
He's weighing in on the dumb hat. We tried to tell her.
Don't like berets. Your voice is gone. If my voice was that gone, I wouldn't even come in.
Well,
God bless you.
I stopped talking yesterday.
Huh?
So that it wouldn't go.
Right.
And then I got up.
And then it was gone.
And here it was.
Yeah.
When Lisa walked in this morning, I said, A, why are you here?
Right.
B, please call and get somebody to do traffic that we can hear.
Well, I mean, so, it would help if we could hear them.
I don't know if that's going to happen or not, if they're going to be able to find somebody. But she has a plan, though. She's going to have Chip read the traffic. That's what we're going to do to start off anyway.
Okay. So she'll write it, and then she'll bring in Chip.
Right.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
It should be
By the way, this is what you ought to do, Kevin. You ought to find somebody really good, and you just type out what you're going to say and have them say
idea.
It.
That's Think a great about idea. It. Have somebody who could actually speak?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a great idea.
All right, before we get to your calls, again, 1-800-520-1067.
Here's Lisa, what's that number?
1-800-520-1067.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I just didn't understand it.
Here's a great story. All of us on the show, especially Kevin, have been fascinated lately by the plethora of television shows about people buying and selling stuff. There's so many of them right now. What have they got? They got I bought a storage container. They got that show, right?
My favorite one is the Auction Hunters.
Auction Hunters, right? Pawn Stars. I mean, there's just a million of them of people trying to sell stuff. And this
Antique
story sounds
Road Show.
Yes, that's the classic. That's the granddaddy. Yeah. Here's a story that comes right out of that mentality. This is a retired Navy doctor who bought a watch 52 years ago. He wore it every day for 40 years, and then he put it away for some reason, stopped wearing it. Well, now it's Christmas, holidays, looking for a little extra cash. He went and dug his watch up, which, by the way, it was a Rolex. And he said, I'm going to put that on eBay and sell that. Now, bear in mind, he's had it for 52 years.
Right.
So he puts it in, starting bid $10, and the thing explodes. Now, he doesn't know what
up?
Not literally.
Oh.
The auction got popular. I don't know what his expectation was.
Lisa, what do you think his expectations were?
I don't know, a couple thousand?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, probably a couple thousand, you would think, right? So it gets to a couple thousand, then it gets to 5,000, then it gets to 10,000.
Lisa, would you have expected it to get to 10,000?
No, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Then it gets to 20,000.
What?
And he's like, what? Then it gets to 30,000. And at 30,000, he goes to an expert and he says, hey, I got this watch in the drawer that I haven't looked at in 10 years. And now it's at $30,000 on eBay. What up? And they told him that it was the rare James Bond Rolex Submariner Ref, which was the model that Sean Connery wore in the early James Bond movies, Dr. No, Goldfinger, whatnot. And that it's one of the rarest watches in the world. That apparently it is the most sought after version. His version is the most sought after version of that watch. Last I heard, it was over 60,000, the auction, and still going.
Over 60?
And this is something that he discarded, basically, put in the junk drawer 10 years ago and never thought about again until he needed a little Christmas cash. Now it's over $60,000.
Wow.
How about that?
Nice.
That's, wow. Are you surprised at that number, Lisa?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
You can look online to places that do advertise. They do sell rare watches, and they're selling for around $100,000 this model. So, it's crazy. I can't imagine spending anywhere near that kind of money for a watch. People who are heavy into it.
Yeah, the people who are heavy into it and have that kind of dough, that's nothing.
Right. Yeah, that's nothing.
Which
exactly.
Is crazy, so. But.
Anyway, that's a great story. Happy
is that
story.
A great story, Lisa?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. Hey, if we wanted to take some calls, what are the number?
Shut up.
You're going to make her talk as much as possible.
What number
you?
Would people pick
I
up and dial?
I won't be able to talk for a week.
But I'm saying if they pick up the phone.
1-800-520-1067.
I'm sorry. I didn't get
Oh, wait. You won't be able to talk for a week? Here, read this phone book.
I didn't get the number because you sort of threw it away.
1-800.
1-800.
520-1067.
I didn't get that last part.
1-0.
Yeah.
Six.
Yes. This is going to be a good day.
7. We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do,
nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Kevin Bean T-shirt. Let's try. Al, Diego is on line one to get us started and perhaps finished. Hi, Diego. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Address all questions to Lisa. Address all questions to Lisa, please.
Anyways, I'm just really looking forward to tomorrow. My company has a Christmas party, and we have two really, really fine receptionists who tend to get really wasted.
All right.
Oh, fantastic.
And because of their looks, they start fights with other guys. And everyone kind of works in the same office, and I guess everyone just forgets about over the year. We're already looking forward to tomorrow. So wait, they're
super hot and they drink a lot. And then did you say that guys start fighting over them?
Well, me, one guy, because he wants to talk to one of them.
Right.
And all the other guys are really, really cool with each other and they like girls. And, you know, they're mostly married and got girlfriends.
Right.
And so there's one other guy, but he gets really wasted. And a couple times before, the boss has had to tell him to go sit in his car in the parking lot for a couple hours and calm down.
Awesome.
And I guess about a year or two ago, he got really wasted. Was trying to talk to the one with double D's, who we actually tried to get into Miss Double D December, but her and her boyfriend, they weren't too on to that too much. But he was trying to talk to her as much as possible, and one of the workers was like, hey, calm down, and he ended up talking to the guy. And so a little skirmish broke out for like an hour or two, and then it all calmed down, everyone started drinking. I guess I forgot about it.
Good times.
I love that there are hot, busty receptionists and people wait for the Christmas party because they figure that's my in. I haven't had any success the other, 364 days a year. But the Christmas party, maybe I can get her drunk enough and maybe something will happen.
And by the way, it's not a bad shot.
It could happen.
No,
what
not at
Lisa?
All.
It could happen.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
It's possible.
It's possible. Okay, yes, good luck.
Thank you, Diego. Good luck to you. Let's try Mo calling about a very, very exciting basketball game last night. Hey, Mo, welcome.
Hey, how's it, what it do, nephew?
How's it what it do?
What it do, Lisa?
What it do?
Lakers!
Well, you ought to be whispering that. You ought to be, Lakers. Yep. You can only beat the Clippers at the last second by a point.
Yeah.
You're not capital letter Lakers.
A win's a win.
Look.
A win is a win. You're right. At the end of the season, you're not going to look back and remember that game. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Hey, listen, this is a common problem with teams that are good that play bad teams, and that is that it's really hard to play up to the level that you normally play. You usually play just
good enough.
You don't
need to.
Yeah, just good enough to win, and then it comes down to the last second, and you risk losing a game you should win, but, what are you going to do?
The Lakers,
oh my God.
And Kevin, you've been saying this for a long time, is that they turn it on when they need it.
Right,
and
exactly.
A game like this in December against the Clippers, they don't care that much. But it was palpable on the court last night. It just looked like they just never got out of second gear last night. And, the way they won it with the left-handed layup at the end was unbelievable. I mean, it was eight lead changes in that game last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kobe had like five guys on him.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Very exciting, and I'm sure Dave is weeping like a little girl today.
Yeah, I'm sure Lisa was excited.
What
too.
Do you think, Lisa?
I was thrilled.
Uh-huh. What did you think, like in the first quarter and in the second quarter when it wasn't?
I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay.
I know you're a big Boston Red Sox fan. I know it's terrible because they're the worst team in the world. But huge signings yesterday. How do you feel about the acquisitions the Red Sox made?
I'm hopeful.
You're what?
Hopeful.
Hopeful?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for the call, Mo. Thanks to everybody.
All right. Lisa's going to tell us about today's Kevin Bean Show.
Not.
Here you go.
No.
Here's the list.
No.
Come on.
No.
Take it. She's going to tell us about today's Kevin and Meat Show. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, we have Dr. Drew.
Canceled.
No, he all canceled. Right. He's sick.
Well, write it on your stupid list.
All right, keep going.
He's sick. But that's okay because we're gonna have you take calls from listeners about their medical problems.
Right.
Instead.
The guy that disappeared yesterday.
The guy?
He's supposed to be back today.
He's an author who wrote a book called How to
Disappear. How to Disappear, right.
And yesterday then he was not to be found.
Exactly.
And we thought he was off the grid.
Right.
We also have another author.
I'm sorry?
Because it's Book Thursday.
What? It is. It's Book Club Thursday,
it's
right?
Yes, okay.
Bill Carter, who wrote The War for Late Night when Leno went early and TV destroyed itself or something.
Went crazy.
Didn't write it all.
No.
Let's see. We have tips on how to stay in shape before the New Year. Oh, no, we're not doing that.
Nope, not doing that either.
Not doing that. No. Oh, we have tickets to give away.
There you go.
For nights one and night two.
There you go.
Right. Can you refresh my memory? Who's playing both nights one and night two? Because I don't recall.
No, Kevin, it's, for God's sakes.
There are a lot of bands
don't
on the bill.
There's the list.
I can't keep them straight. Right. Who's on night one again, Lisa?
Because Bean can't be confused. We need
Smash Mountains.
Clarity. Right?
Social D.
Uh-huh.
My Chemical Romance.
My Chemical Romance. What songs do they sing? I don't remember
Bad Religion,
which.
Jimmy okay. World, Cake, right. The Day to Remember, the It's in Amberlin.
Okay, good.
All right, that's Saturday. How about Sunday?
Who was the second one? I forgot.
Sunday.
Okay. All right,
Do you think
Sunday.
This is helping my voice?
Yes.
Is this okay? Mm-hmm. Phoenix.
I guess something will help, by the way.
Vampire Weekend. Brandon Flowers, The Black Keys, The Temper Trap, Neon Trees, Florence and the Machine, Edward Sharpe, The Magnetic Zeros, Broken Bells, and Switchfoot. Nice. You guys played, are so
who,
mean.
Who played last year?
I'm
I don't
not
remember.
Talking anymore.
Oh, come on
Actually,
now.
I need the lineup of all 20 previous Acoustic Christmas.
Done. She's finished.
I'm out.
All right. Don't go away because Lisa does have traffic next, and I can't wait to hear that. Plus, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat featuring Lisa May coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:49.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, sort of. By the way, I got an instant request from a Kevin and Bean listener, Kelly, who would like to hear an instant request from Lisa May and Harrison Ford having a conversation. Which I think maybe something we have to work up later on today. Anyway, a big show, How to Disappear, the author, coming up next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Ralph Garman joins us now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's happening, Ralph?
I'm sad.
Why? Why are you sad?
Because of what happened to that guy in Germany.
What
it's
happened?
Not Christmas. It's not Christmas in Germany, apparently.
What happened to the guy in Germany?
Police show up at a guy's house. Mm-hmm. And they go in, they had someone tipped him off, and they show up, and they see his Christmas tree. It's on a Christmas tree stand, it's decorated with lights, it's got nice ornaments hanging off of it.
Right.
All right, it's a 6-foot-tall pot plant, but still, it's his Christmas tree. Well, they didn't buy it. They confiscated his tree. It's like the Grinch. It's like the Grinch coming into little Cindy Lou Who's house. And stealing the tree.
Why do they have to ruin Christmas?
There's a light out on one side. I'll fix it up there and I'll bring it back here. No. No Christmas for Potty Claws.
Come on.
So sad.
First you enjoy it.
Charged with illegal drugs.
Then you smoke it.
Oh, it's the perfect holiday.
It's a downside.
All right, that just sounds recyclable to me.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Rather than put it out of the curb for the trash man.
It's way responsible compared to the plastic
out, right?
ones.
Being conscientious, that's all. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Good news, fellas. Jenny McCarthy's single.
All right.
She tells In Touch magazine she is single and looking to mingle. Oh, I hope she makes those faces and does that fart noise she does. Sticks your tongue out a lot. That's hot. F Jenny McCarthy. By the way, get your kids vaccinated.
Oh, is she one of those?
Oh, yeah, she believes it's the source of all evil.
That's a big...
Autism is due to vaccinations, she claims. But she's single. She had a 4-month relationship with a guy named Jason Tuohy, and apparently he couldn't handle all the attention she receives. That's what she says. Yeah, that's what it is. Not the fact you won't shut the F up.
There potentially could be some downsides to dating Jenny, but she also is a former Playboy Playmate of the Year, so there's some upsides. Yeah.
You know, there's 53 of those, or 57 of those Playmates of the Year, and a lot of months in between there that you can choose from. There's a lot of girls who look like Jenny McCarthy that don't sound like Jenny McCarthy. That's always my point.
I hear you.
Los Angeles is chock full of them. God bless the City of Angels.
So sound down.
That's what I'm saying. Finally... They have put the rest, the case of Hollywood publicist Ronnie Chasen. You heard about this legendarily. She was coming home from a premiere, and they found her in her car, shot to death. It turns out it was just a robbery gone wrong.
Isn't that crazy that she was not targeted? It was random.
It wasn't it wasn't a murder at all. It was just a robbery gone wrong. The suspect was Harold Martin Smith, and they have run ballistic tests on the weapon they found on Smith, and it matches the ones recovered from Ronnie Chasen's body. It was an ongoing investigation. Police showed up to interview Mr. Smith regarding the crime because he bragged to his neighbor that he had killed her. Maybe not the best way to get away with it.
Wow.
Cops showed up to question him. He pulled out that very same gun and then killed himself before the cops got to him. So, well, justice good. Served.
Yeah. It does show you how much work is involved in being a police officer, murder investigation. They spent so much time trying to figure out if somebody had a motive to kill her, and confiscating her computers and just looking for any connection to someone that could have done this, and then it turned out to just be random.
I got a friend who's a cop, and he says motive is the key to any murder investigation. Any time someone is killed with foul play, if you can find out why, you almost can always find out who. And that was the biggest problem in that case. They just didn't know why anyone would shoot this woman. Mm. Didn't make any sense.
And they didn't think about robbery.
Wrong place, wrong time. Christina Aguilera in the news. I don't know if you caught the buzz on the internet yesterday, but semi-nude photos of her were released on the internet from a hacked account that belonged to, we're finding out today, her stylist.
All right.
Stylist went to her house. So they, naturally, when you have a stylist, they say, let's try putting some stuff on.
Giant size cans.
And we'll take some photos, and then we'll see how you look.
Like it?
And some of those things that they asked her to put on while they were doing the shoot was pasties and some dental floss.
All right. Let's try dental floss and see how that looks.
It's supposed to be a thong, I guess, but it sure looks like twine. Anyway, they took the photos. Kevin, you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Get my chair to move.
What's happening?
I'm just like working with an ADT autistic kid on too much sugar. That's what you're like. All those things
that
combined.
Goddamn chair. It's not my chair. Not my chair. Not my problem. That's what I say.
Not my chair. Anyway, turns out the stylist had her home computer stolen, and then the photos were on there, hacked and released on the internet yesterday. And Christina is none too pleased.
I was pleased.
I was too. Looks good.
Yes, she does.
Some organs, such as your breasts, receive special attention.
And I've seen the photos are not there available online. Not safe for work, by the way. But the greatest thing about the photos is she looks just like just a sweaty whore. Just like a girl that's just been just rough effed all night long. Because she doesn't have much makeup on. Her hair's kind of tousled. And she's got like a big bruise on her thigh. She's got like a Band-Aid on her leg.
She hasn't had sleep in 2 days. That's clear.
She looks just banged.
She's been in bed for 2 days having sex.
It's kind of hot.
Yeah.
It's kind of nasty, dirty. Yeah.
She's going to need an IV, but
whatever.
She's recently single also.
I'll give her an injection.
By the way, you call those cheap implants boobs? Those aren't boobs. They're lies.
I'll give her some fluids. You know what I'm saying?
No. You know what I'm saying? I don't. I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
You know how to start an IV?
Oh, geez. Why don't you bounce in your chair a little bit more over there, Sparky?
Can't get it to move.
Kirsten Dunst is finally speaking about her trip to rehab a couple of years ago. Keith. She is setting the story straight. No, it wasn't dental rehab, Kevin. Oh. It was just regular rehab. A lot of rumors were swirling at the time that she was fighting drug or alcohol abuse. But it turns out the battle was against depression. She was in such serious depression that she had to check herself into a clinic and try to get some treatment. So it wasn't...
Because of her teeth?
Because of her teeth.
Yeah.
She... apparently went in right after she saw a screening of Spider-Man 3. That's when she realized she was very, very depressed. I was too after I saw that.
Yeah.
Interesting list in today's showbiz news. The fall sweeps ratings are out for syndicated television shows.
Okay.
Now, syndicated shows, as opposed to those on a network or a basic cable channel, aren't exclusively shown on that outlet. These are shows that they rent out, or lease, if you will, to smaller stations all over the country, and you can watch them in the afternoon or the early evening, game shows, talk shows, that kind of stuff. And it was an interesting list.
A lot of sitcoms are like that.
Well, in the reruns, yeah, but this is first-run syndication. Okay. So I'll give you the top 10 ratings-getters for this year in the fall sweeps.
All right.
Ellen DeGeneres' show was 10th on the list.
Okay.
Well, I was surprised by that. I thought she would do better.
I agree.
I didn't know she was that type of show.
Yeah.
Okay.
The weekend edition of Wheel of Fortune was 9th.
All right.
Inside Edition, the tabloid show, was 8th. Live with Regis and Kelly was 7th.
Mike and Kelly. Live with Mike and Kelly.
Oh, sorry, Mike and Kelly.
Yeah. Is what it's going to be soon.
Dr. Phil. I think it should be Regis and Lisa.
Let's find out what's going on in this today, Reach.
She's not old. She just lost her voice.
Dr. Phil was 6th. Entertainment Tonight was 5th. Judge Judy was 4th. The Oprah Winfrey Show, only 3rd on the list.
What?
See? Surprised, aren't you?
Yes.
Jeopardy, 2nd on the list. Most watched syndicated show in America. What do you think the number one most watched syndicated show in these United States was during the fall sweeps period?
It's got to be Access Hollywood, doesn't it?
Ah, no, it does not.
Auction Hunters.
Auction Hunters is right.
No.
I was thinking of Kevin last night. I was watching Hollywood Treasure. Oh, how I love my Hollywood Treasure.
Oh, dear God.
It's an auction show about props and costumes and stuff from movies and television shows. It's on Sci-Fi, and I love it so. So I'm watching it, and my wife's like, this is dumb. These people, half of them won't even auction their stuff up. They go to visit them in their house. Like, oh, you have the original Gremlin from the movie Gremlins? And it's like, yeah, what do you think? So we're going to take this and auction it up. He's like, no, I'm not going to sell this today. And it's like, she goes, what? What's the point of the auction show if nothing ever goes to auction?
That's a good question.
And I say, you get to see cool things.
And who gives it damn?
That's the genius of those shows, Kevin. That's what you're not appreciating.
Who gives it damn?
Going to make you watch American Pickers.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
It's a nose-picking competition.
Anyone, number one syndicated show, Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune. Can you believe that many people are still watching Wheel of Fortune?
Nobody wants that, you stupid asshole.
I was just stunned. Beats out Oprah.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Now, more people are home, probably, when Wheel of Fortune is on. 7:30 most places.
Right.
Yeah, 7:30 as opposed to Oprah. But still, yeah. The fact that people, the public hasn't lost interest in that game show in that format, by the way. What's it been on? 25, 30 years?
Gotta be, yeah.
Yeah, same with Jeopardy. Same thing, right?
Jeopardy even longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys remember the most famous Jeopardy clip ever? I have.
Oh, sure. I'd love to hear that one.
The category is people who annoy you.
Okay.
Category is people who annoy you.
The letters.
Audience, keep quiet, please.
Okay. What are the letters?
N
blank. 10 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
ERS. Right?
I know it, but I don't think I should say it.
Yeah. N blank. GGERS.
Yeah.
Could use 5 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
All right, I'd like to solve the puzzle. Niggers.
Oh, no.
What?
No.
Huh?
Oh.
No.
Ooh.
Mm-mm.
Oh, naggers, of course.
Yeah.
Naggers.
Those people who annoy you are naggers.
Remember when that happened?
I do.
Oh, it's the best Jeopardy moment ever.
As Pat Sajak wet his pants. I remember that episode. I remember seeing the big stain. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. There are about 75 birthdays, so everybody buckle in.
It's really?
A big birthday day today, December the 9th. Kirk Douglas, actor Kirk Douglas, is 94 years old today. Last couple months, people have been speculating, is it possible Kirk Douglas will outlive his son, Michael Douglas?
Wow, that's...
Dude.
Yeah, wow.
94 years old.
He has never been better than yesterday.
What, Lisa?
Dick Van Patten's 82 years old today. Ah, Dick. Our buddy Dick. We love Dick.
You love Dick,
especially.
Don't
we love Dick?
You love Dick more than
most.
Remember
when he came on and he brought his dog food?
Sure.
And Lisa ate it?
That's right.
That was good times.
He said it was good enough for humans.
Now listen to her.
Yeah.
You know what happened? Do not eat dog food, people. This is what will happen to you. Beau Bridges, brother of Jeff Bridges, is 69 years old today. Very talented actor in his own right. John Malkovich is 57. Don Osmond celebrates his 53rd birthday. Felicity Huffman from The Girls Across the Street on the Lane.
Desperate
Housewives. That's right. 48 years old today. Brian Bell of Weezer is 42. Jacob Dylan of Wallflowers is 41 years old. Trey Cool of Green Day celebrates his 38th birthday. Imogene Heap, the singer,
ooh,
is 33
kinda
years
hot
old today. She's very hot.
Yeah.
Jesse Metcalf, also from Desperate Housewives. He was the sexy gardener on that show. He is 32. And legendary place kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles, David Akers. It's 36 years old today. Woo! Woo! You know, he has the record for the most games ever started by a Philadelphia Eagle?
Who gives it damn?
You know, not you, I guess. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. Got tons of ways for you to win your way into this weekend's Almost Acoustic Christmas concerts from the Kevin and Bean Show today. Lots of ways to win, including coming up, about 15 minutes? We're going to give away some tickets?
Yep.
You're going to call right now. You're going to have to earn them. You're going to have to call right now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll put you on hold. And you're going to have to earn them. And it's a very, very annoying game. So I'm just telling you that right up front. Sorry about that, but you're going to have to earn them. So you're going to have to play Orchestra de la Raza.
Oh, not that again. So yeah. if you want to go to night number one, give us a call now on the Kevin and Bean Show. But again, you have to be on hold for a few minutes, and then we'll play. Speaking of people who aren't going to be at the Almost Acoustic Christmas concert, how about our men and women serving, fighting for this country all around the world? It's tough to be away for the holidays. You miss Acoustic Christmas. You miss your family. You miss the holiday. You miss hearing Lisa May talk today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sure.
That's tragic. We got an email from Gunnery Sergeant Jonathan Rosenberg, stationed at Camp Leatherneck in Afghanistan. He is a platoon sergeant out there in the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion.
Says he's finishing up his fifth combat tour between Iraq and Afghanistan.
How dope is this dude, right? Well, he unfortunately can't be with us for obvious reasons, but he asked us to give his wife, Marlene, a call. And I believe we have Marlene on the phone. Is this you?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Marlene. Kevin and Bean calling. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. We got an email from Jonathan. Is he back yet from Afghanistan?
He just got back on Sunday.
Did he really?
No way. That's awesome.
Yes.
How great is that? How long has he been gone?
Oh, he was gone 7 months, and it was his fifth deployment, so.
That's what he said. He said it was his fifth combat tour.
Yes, fifth combat tour.
Unbelievable.
What is that like when your man is gone for that long and you got to keep going, keep the household running and keep strong, keep the faith? How do you do that?
Oh, my God. It's so hard, especially this time around. We got a puppy. We got an English bulldog. So it was like raising a kid without him.
Yeah. But you have other guys step in, right? I mean.
Oh, no. It's just me. Usually just my brother would come in and like help a little bit, but it's usually just me.
Well, I'm so glad that you didn't get what Kevin's reference was meant to lead toward. So glad that you kept it classy, Marley. We appreciate that. So what are your, is he working now, or does he have some time off for the holidays, or what's the deal?
No, he actually gets some time off. We're going to head back to the Midwest on Monday or Tuesday to go spend some time with our family because we're both from out there.
Is he there now?
He is in the shower.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't want to interrupt that.
No.
Well, listen, I'm glad we got you on the phone because he emailed us and he wasn't sure. I guess at the time he sent us the note, he knew he was coming home. He just didn't know when it was going to be. And he told us that you had been super bummed out because you tried to buy tickets for the Almost Acoustic Christmas show, but you weren't able to get them for this weekend, right?
Correct, yeah.
So he was emailing us saying, man, is there anything you can do? Is there any way you can help? And we thought, let's do it for Jonathan. He's over there, you know, putting his life on the line for us. The least we can do is to try to help take care of his wife a little bit. So the reason we're calling you today to see is if you want to go, if you are able to join us this weekend for the shows.
Oh, my God, yes. He wanted to go so bad.
Ah, it's so funny. He told us you did. He said, oh, yeah, I don't care, but my wife, man, she really wants to go bad.
No, not me.
I wanted to go bad, but for him. Like, I really wanted to get them, but I wanted to have something for him to do.
That's funny.
That's the opposite. Kevin's right. He said, it's not me, my wife, though. Oh, does she want to go?
She was so bummed. She tried to buy tickets. And what night did he want to go to, Marlene?
I know that he wanted to see Social Distortion.
So the first night, Saturday night.
Yeah.
What band were you dying to see and really depressed that you couldn't?
Me, I love Smashing Pumpkins and Phoenix.
All right.
Oh, well, there you go.
You can get two out of three on Saturday night.
We want you and Jonathan to be there Saturday night as our guests. Smashing Pumpkins, Social Distortion, My Chemical Romance, Bad Religion, Jimmy Eat World, Cake, A Day to Remember, Dirty Heads, Amberlin, Switchfoot. They are all on the bill. It's just a tiny way that we have to say, thanks for your service to your husband. I'm sorry we couldn't get him on the phone. But also, you know, to kind of cheer you up because we thought maybe he wouldn't be back yet. But now this is best case scenario. You guys can both go.
Yes, awesome.
So we're going to give you tickets for Saturday night, but you have to pass on our message to Jonathan that he is a lying liar. Will you do that for us? Sure, he's sent five combat times in Afghanistan and Iraq, but he's a liar.
That's right.
We're on to him.
All right, Marlene, listen, if you see us Saturday night, come up and say hi, okay?
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to apologize in advance to everybody involved with this game, except for the person who eventually is going to win tickets in a couple of minutes for night number one?
Night number one.
Saturday night, Gibson Amphitheater in Los Angeles, California for the Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. We're talking about Smashing Pumpkins and Social D, My Chemical Romance, Bad Religion, Jimmy Eat World, Cake, A Day to Remember, Dirty Heads, and Amberlin. It's a little game we like to call El Orchestra de la Raza.
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
Okay. All right, guys. It's time to give away tickets. To-
I think
hello,
that intro's
hello,
perfect.
Mexicans. Do you? Well, if you want to make sure no one's listening by the time we finally get to the game, yeah.
Oh, come on.
Dave and Psycho Mike in the other room, you do what? How does the game work for folks who have not heard it or played before?
Well, we take instrumental portions of songs from bands on the Acoustic Christmas lineup, but we do them all a cappella with our mouths.
But it's just it's for the most part the instrumental parts of the songs, not the singing the lyrics,
that's
but
right.
The instrumental. And for most part, it's the beginning of the songs?
At times, yes. Okay. A good portion of them are from the beginning of the song, but it is, in fact, instruments that we are recreating with our mouths.
We're focusing on la musica.
All right.
Wow.
Dave's Spanish is getting better every year. 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to be a contestant. We'll start with Robert. He is on line one. So the guys are going to perform a number for you. It's one. Here's the hint, though. It's one of the bands and one of the songs you'll be hearing Saturday night if you win the tickets, if you're able to identify by title and artist. Robert, you will go into the drawing to win the tickets. And I just can't wait to hear Lisa May read somebody's name. All right, Robert, listen up. Here's your clue.
Here we go. 2, 3, 4.
Boom. Ba, 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 ba. What song are the guys doing there?
Sounds familiar. I just don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, what a shame, because that was, I think, one of the easier ones we'll hear today. We're looking for Cake, Short Skirt, Long Jacket.
Hey, damn it.
That wasn't bad, by the way.
I mean, it really does kind of sound like it. Yeah, thank
especially when Mike did the whatever that thing is.
That's that African jawbone instrument.
Debbie, line two. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Did you know that last one, Debbie?
Yeah, but I couldn't remember the title.
Yeah, so,
cool. Be honest.
Makes it tough.
Always happens like that.
Here's the orchestra.
Go Raiders. All right, listen up. All right, hold on a second. Is this El Orchestra de la Rosa or is it Hate Beak? What's going on with all the bird sound effects?
I'm looking at the answer, and there's no way I can figure that out.
How was Mr. Sanchez doing the pinch harmonics of the guitar? I thought it was
great. Sure. A little improv. All right, Debbie, what do you think?
Dude, you guys suck.
I think she's right on that.
Debbie, you won't be going to the show, but you'll always have the Santa Fe swap meet, so thank you for playing anyway. Smashing Pumpkins Zero. Let's play the clip. Sort of. You can kind of see where
they
were going, right?
Us or that Chunty on the phone?
Shane, line three. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
Let's do this.
Hello, Orcas.
2, 3, 4.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
One of the easier ones. Don't you get the idea that these two call each other all night and do that to each other? One of them,
yes.
They pick up the phone, go, hello, and the other one's going, wow, 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 and then they just join in.
Because they're the only ones who seem to enjoy it. Yeah. I think you're right about that. Shane, come on, man. Get in the drawing here. What's going on?
Social distortion, Ring of Fire.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes,
there it is. All right. We got time for Brett, line four. See if somebody else can be up for the tickets. We're playing El Orchestra de la Raza for night number one. Hey, Brett, you ready to play?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
Any questions you have for Lisa May before we move on?
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Brett.
I think I'd have better luck if maybe she was singing.
Yeah, I'd like to hear her sing as well.
It would certainly sound better than what we got going on. All right, let's hear it.
Here we go. 2, 3, 4.
Thank you, John.
Wow.
Come on. Come on. All right. Stop.
All right.
Stop.
All right. All right.
Brett, you got this, man. Go ahead.
Bad Religion?
Nope. That's My Chemical Romance.
Yeah. All right. That was no. All right. We only have time for one more contestant. So far, Shane is the only person in the drawing. Let's see if Robert can join him. Hi, Robert. You ready to play?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah.
Hey, just before we move on, I'd just like to say something to Omar, who's in the studio. You were just groaning because it was going on so long and it was loud and annoying. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
One word, Omaroki. Same thing.
Now you know what it's like.
Exact same thing.
You're skyrocketing when I sing on the radio.
All right. Here's El Orquestra de la Raza.
All right, here we go.
All right, with the beatboxing. Thank you very much. That's fine. Robert, what do you think?
Jimmy Eat World?
Sorry, that was Amberlynn, Feel Good Drag. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad.
Shane is in the drawing with Shane. Lisa May, who's going to win tickets for night number one?
The winner is Shane.
Shane!
Oh! Congratulations. You're the only contestant who was able to survive El Orquestra de la Raza. We're going to give you tickets in the pit. We'll see you Saturday night, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Oh, my God.
Can't hear him.
Okay.
Right.
I think he said yes.
Thank you,
thanks,
Orchestra.
El Orquestra.
Hey, Caesar! El Orquestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
Dear Kevin and Bean, Nancy emails in. Hey, thanks for actually helping me get up on time today. My alarm went off while El Orquestra de la Raza was on the radio. Your show is doing a great service, Nancy. Yeah, happy to help. I imagine that would get you out of bed if you wake up and that nonsense is on your radio. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph has tickets, by the way, for an advanced screening of True Grit coming up on today's show. You definitely do not want to miss that, the new Coen Brothers movie. That looks awesome. And more tickets for Acoustic Christmas. First, though, what's your latest beef with Mike? What's going on with you and Mike?
Well, Mike is a health freak.
Yes.
And he really pays attention more than anyone else I've ever met in my life. Like, he portions out food, and he brings it in Tupperware, and it's just a certain amount. He's very meticulous about his diet. Very, very. But still, this past Friday, when we were doing Miss Double December, I said, hey, Mike, you got a piece of gum? And I was expecting a piece of gum. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but Mike pulls out this tub of what looks like gum-shaped objects.
Have some right now.
Right. And I was just thinking to myself, how much damage, let's say that you're meticulous about what you eat, how much damage is a stick of gum going to do? Real gum.
Yeah. I mean, have a Chiclets or something, right?
Let go sugarless, okay. But Spry is the name of this. I never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got just a lot of weird, it's made out of like dirt and beets. And carrot.
So you don't just natural, chew like extra, sort of a popular sugarless gum? Which, by the way, they all suck, but at least you get the gum sensation.
I'm a big fan of this all-natural Spry gum.
But I'm saying, are you taking a little far with that? I mean, really, gum is...
Like, if you had a piece of Wrigley's, what would it do? Would it wreak havoc on your system?
You're going to go into a coma?
No, but...
Would you gain a 16th of an ounce?
If you put a cup of regular unleaded in a Lamborghini, it probably wouldn't do much. But why take a chance? Why take a chance?
So where did you get this gum? It wasn't bad, by the way. Having said that, it wasn't bad. But I'm just thinking, how far does a guy have to go, really, for health? I mean, when you get down to gum...
Yeah, I mean... I shop most of the time, pardon me, at Whole Foods.
Right.
So this is the gum they have there.
They don't have any other gum?
No, because they only sell, like, you know, hippie stuff, like whole, all natural and healthy stuff.
So you go,
stuff.
Hey, I'll pick up gum next time I go to a gas station.
I'm at the checkout, so I just pick up a tub of this gum, and it actually turned out to be pretty good, so I just continued buying it.
Hmm.
What's in it?
Well, xylitol, which is a all-natural, non-nutritive dental defense sweetener, a gum-based green tea... Humanitarian glycerin. That's right. It's non-animal glycerin.
Right.
Gum arabic, non-GMO soy lecithin, beeswax, and a glazing agent, Lisa May.
Where's Gene Simmons when you need him?
None of the items that are in gum are in that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we wanted to find out more about this special gum that Mike is eating and to find out if it's really healthy for you. So we asked producer Alex to line somebody up. And Mike, you don't know about this, but we actually have Stone Crushwell on the phone. Stone is a spokesperson for Spry Incorporated. They're the ones who make your gum. Mr. Crushwell, thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
How are you? Glad to hear it.
How are you, sir?
I'm excellent. I get up every morning. I run for 16 miles.
Right.
I do 417 push-ups.
Wow.
I do some pull-ups. And then I'm ready for my breakfast.
So this gum that Psycho Mike was just describing,
Spry!
Did he accurately tell us what's in it?
Yes, he did. Spry is an all-natural dental defense gum.
Right.
That not only is delicious and fun to chew, but also protects your teeth and actually enhances your health.
It enhances your health. All right.
Yes.
So the question that I asked him, although it was decent tasting, the answer that I asked him is really, how much damage would it do if you just had a piece of sugarless gum?
Well, how much damage would it do if you hit yourself in the head with a ball peen hammer?
Well, that's not the same.
Same thing. People, Americans, are putting garbage into their systems. They're becoming human garbage dumps.
Right.
They're becoming garbage scows.
Right.
They're traveling around with all the filth and the muck and the disgusting products of processed foods
right.
in their system.
But I'm saying
And we here at Spry are building products to make a more healthy nation. But if you have a problem with that, it's you and me, one-on-one.
We don't need to fight. We don't need to fight. Wow. I'm just saying, how much damage could it do to have a piece of sugarless gum versus your Spry?
Full of chemicals. Chemicals break down the body, create antioxidants, fighters.
But you don't swallow it, you spit it out.
No, you don't, but you absorb it. You absorb it through your tissues, through your saliva. It's very detrimental to your health.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Wow, you're pretty hardcore.
You like free radicals? No! No one likes free radicals!
I don't know. Am I supposed to like that?
I agree with Stone. Stone's my boy.
Yeah, yeah.
He is your boy. Hey, Stone, I don't want to get off topic here, but did you ever serve with a guy named Shred Ripmaster?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Okay.
What else do you make at Spry Incorporated besides gum, or is that it?
No, we got a full line of products.
It's not gum. I wouldn't call it gum. I would call it a gum-like product.
We've got Spry Candy.
Spry Candy?
Yeah. Spry Candy is made from 100% oceanic tar balls, rolled into small bite-sized pieces, and then covered in shredded puffin feathers.
Doesn't sound good at
Delicious.
All. That sounds terrible.
Just like chocolate.
Nope.
We got Spry Mints.
Mints.
Mints that are snails dusted with a light sprinkling of brown acorns.
Oh, no,
it's a minty treat
you.
For your mouth and a great for your colon.
Right.
Then we're coming up with a full line of Spry hygiene products.
Hygiene products.
We got the Shribe toothpaste.
Well, wait, what? Why do I need that toothpaste?
Because regular toothpaste that you buy, your Crest, your Colgate, your other brands, are filled with chemicals your body doesn't need and don't do the job.
Okay.
Spry toothpaste is made from only the finest crushed Ecuadorian pumice and desiccated tapeworms.
And what?
Desiccated tapeworms.
Mike, you going to buy that?
Yeah, why not?
Is that good? Because it involves tapeworms.
Is that good for my teeth, Stone?
And for your gums, and for your tongue, and for your taste buds, and for the fleshy part in between the gums, and for your cheeks. Oh, the whole mouth is taken care of.
Okay.
I'm in.
All right.
We got a Spry deodorant. Which is simply a sea urchin slathered in rendered soybean oil. You do smell a little fishy.
That sounds
But it will take away that after body workout smell.
Right, but you smell fishy then?
Well, a little fishy.
Well, okay.
But it's a nice kind of fishy.
Okay.
And then we got, of course, the Spry Razor, which is just a pine cone that's covered with shards of broken volcanic lava glass.
Yeah.
That sounds dangerous, though. I've got to be honest.
Along your face, and it will remove any unwanted hair.
All right, imagine.
And most wanted flesh.
Happy.
We're still working on that one.
Okay, maybe you should. Thanks.
Spry!
Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Hey, before we get to your showbiz here, every couple of years you go and interview your dad. You go down to the mansion and interview dad. And I think next half hour we have you sitting down with the legendary Hugh Hefner. Am I right, Ralph?
I did visit the mansion this week to sit down with Hef and to talk a little bit about his new DVD that's available right now. It was in theaters a little while ago. Now it's available on DVD. It's a documentary about his life, and we'll talk more about it when I present the interview. But it is a great, great film. You will love it, not only because it's all things Hef, which are all things good about the world, but it will tell you things about Hefner that you may never have known, how involved he was in social and political change, what an activist he was over the past 50 years. And it's just, it's a remarkable life story about a remarkable guy who did some very cool things.
Did you talk to him about the will? Has he updated that at all? Are you in?
I knew that. I've seen the will. I was
You're in already.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's leaving everything
okay.
to you?
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So Ralph talks to his hero and the man he claims is his father, Hugh Hefner from the Playboy Empire, coming up next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, Lindsay Lohan in the news. She wants her own show on Oprah's new network.
All right.
Lindsay wants to star in a reality series on the OWN network and has been in contact with Oprah and her people, according to In Touch magazine, about a reality series about her putting her life back together again.
What could go wrong with that?
Nothing, because I'm sure she'll succeed. Would you watch?
Oh, yeah. She's a train wreck.
Yeah, but my fear is they would tart it up and edit it. In those sense, especially with the Oprah network, that would be inspirational and you know, all good stuff. And
is she going to give them that much to work with?
Yeah, I think they would. Huh. It's Hollywood magic, man. They can do anything.
All right.
American Idol. Woo! Coming up, Kevin. Out. Right around the corner.
Out.
A lot of changes. A lot of changes going on with this Idol. Not only do we have new judges, we've got Steven Tyler and J-Lo.
Are they doing any songs we like?
Of course not.
No, okay.
But this year, not only will the kids have to sing, but they're going to have to make their own music videos for songs. So instead of just singing the song, you'll also do a music video for some of the songs.
Terrible idea. That sounds awful.
It's a wonderful idea.
That's a great idea because it's going to be awful.
And the 12 finalists, just announced by the Hollywood Reporter, will live together in a house in the Hollywood Hills.
No.
Then give it up.
And they're putting cameras in the house to watch them interact on a daily basis. And the drama that is created inside the house when the 12 finalists are all living together.
Then they'll take
their torches. They'll go to tribal council.
Right.
Jeff Probst will snuff out one of the torches, and they'll have to leave in a Ford Fiesta.
Sure.
Look, that sounds desperate for the biggest show on television to make those changes, but they have lost a little bit of luster in the last couple of seasons, and the way to win is to have people be invested in your characters.
They're also going to take the final 12 on trips, like a Vegas trip, and they'll document that, the reality and the drama of that situation.
Wow.
Is there any singing?
Oh, no singing this year.
Well, then I'm in. I didn't realize there was no singing.
So a lot of changes in store for the new season. Can they reinvent themselves? Can they capture that magic that once was American Idol? That's the question.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
I can't imagine that Steven Tyler is going to be good on that show.
I think he is, because I think he's crazy.
Yes, and inarticulate, which will be very entertaining for all of us.
And I can translate.
Hard to believe that the Beatles are still in the news.
Course, they don't have to be in our news.
Everywhere you go in the world now, you see billboards from iTunes saying, now available, greatest band in the world, right? Here they are. Finally, you get to download the Beatles on iTunes.
Yeah, that's great.
Remember when we were talking about the Beatles coming to iTunes, Kevin, and you were saying how everybody who likes the Beatles already has the Beatles?
Yeah.
And then they went out and sold over 2 million songs in the first 6 days.
Right.
It's crazy what the appetite is for this group.
Yes, it is.
Then they announced, Paul and Ringo announced, they're getting the band back together for a charity concert. Well, they'll be performing opposite digital images of George Harrison and late John Lennon.
Oh, that's going to be good.
That'll be good, right? So that was big news. And then today, we find news where Sir Paul McCartney was at a fundraiser for the Jewish Community Center in New Jersey.
Okay.
Apparently, his new girlfriend, Nancy Chevelle, is a big supporter of Chabad House in New Brunswick. And everyone said they were quite shocked when she walked in with Paul McCartney on her arm. And there they were at a Jewish fundraiser.
All right.
Paul pleased the crowd by getting up and singing, "Hey, Jews, you run the news. You're a banker."
I like it.
It's a long way to go for that joke.
Yes. Magnificent! Hold your leg down, apples! He would make Barbara Walters cry. Ingenious!
Thank you.
It's absolute perfection! It is absolute genius!
Thank
as
you.
Clean as a whistle!
Thank you.
As good as it gets!
Thank you.
Wonderful!
Thank you. Taylor Swift's turning 21 on Monday.
All right.
But Taylor said,
"Stop making that noise!"
Man!
That was disgusting.
I love her so.
No
I
mas!
Love her so.
Taylor said, "Don't expect to see her in any big nightclub blowout, however." She said her birthday is so close to Christmas that every year she just combines both events with her family and has people over the house to exchange presents in a very low-key, special, sentimental day.
She's the best.
Taylor said she's hoping to get some penicillin and some contraceptive sponges because she's a whore.
She's not a whore. Why do you keep saying that?
Did she say that? Because
she
wants
her to
be.
She's not a whore.
Because she is a whore.
Is she a whore?
She's not a whore.
She goes through men like Mike goes through Spry gum.
Right, so she goes out on some dates with people. Doesn't mean she's banging them all. You don't know, man.
Dates.
You don't know, man.
What is she,
John Mayer just likes having meals with ladies.
That's right.
They go and discuss
important conversation.
No, she definitely had sex with John Mayer. There's no question about that.
Jake Gyllenhaal's sticking around because apparently he just likes to hear her strum her 12-string.
I'm just saying.
And by the way, I'm not talking about a guitar. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. All right. Sounded sexy, though.
Let's talk about celebrity birthdays, shall we? You know, I got an email today about today's birthdays, and I wanted to mention it. And I think we should.
Right.
Let me read this real quick. I'll save it for the end. Kirk Douglas is born today. Dick Van Patten, Beau Bridges, John Malkovich, Donny Osmond, Felicity Huffman, Brian Bell of Weezer, Jacob Dylan of the Wallflowers, former American Idol judge Cara DioGuardi, Trey Cool of Green Day.
Yeah!
Imogen Heap is 33 years old. Jeffy Metcalf is 32. And then this email I got today. Dear Ralph, over the years, I've heard birthday wishes to my former bandmates, even though the band has long since expired. You have even mentioned the trumpet player, who doesn't even play trumpet anywhere anymore.
Awesome.
I know this is stooping low, but for once, can you give me the best gift ever by wishing me a happy birthday on December the 9th? I haven't heard happy birthday to Eric Zamora from Save Ferris since 1998. Perhaps you can find a spot for me in between Trey Cool and John Milton.
Yeah, Eric.
Cherry on the top would be to plug Starpool's first headlining show at the House of Blues in Anaheim on December the 30th.
Nope.
Starpool is everyone from Save Ferris except the girl.
But the girl was really good.
But we have former No Doubt singer Alan Mead instead. Well, thank you for reading. Happy holidays to the Kevin and Bean gang, Eric Zamora.
We were just having a conversation a couple weeks ago about how great Save Ferris was and how much we missed that band, remember?
And Eric Zamora was a big part of that band. And
Eric.
I feel bad that we've neglected him since 1998. So happy birthday, Eric. Hope you have a good one, and I hope Starpool is a huge, huge success for you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations, Marla Garcia from Cerrito. She just got tickets for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. It is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's wintertime? So anyways.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's interview with Hugh Hefner coming up next here on the program. I love Christmas music. I don't think I could overstate my enthusiasm for holiday music. I really do listen to it every day of the year.
Bean's not exaggerating. He has a blog, different Christmas song every day. And to me, Christmas is the day after Thanksgiving until the 25th. Of December at about 2 p.m.
And then you're done. Then you're done till next year.
Then let's clean it up and move on. But Bean listens to it all year long, literally.
I have an iPod with all Christmas music on it. That's how much I love it. And this time last year, Kevin, you remember that my favorite album of the year so far was the Bob Dylan Christmas album. Remember how much fun we had with that one?
Everybody knows a turkey.
That was Bob putting a stamp on some holiday classics. This year, it's almost hard to pick. There are so many great new holiday releases, and one of my favorite is the New Zealand singing sensation by way of China, I think, or where's she from? South Korea?
South Korea, I think.
And she is the great Wing, and she has a new Christmas EP out that is available through her website. That is just phenomenal. I'll never get tired of Santa on a Helicopter. It deserves to be a classic right up there with White Christmas.
Here's the name of it. Carols, I'm going to give you the grammar, the way she does that too. Carols, comma, rap, and sing, semicolon, A Beautiful Christmas. So that's Wing, and this is Santa on a Helicopter.
This Wing is a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart. Santa Claus.
She doesn't understand that note's too high for her, does she?
No.
Really, she doesn't get that. Maybe we just bring it down a...
Santa Claus, he visited us today. December 24. Wow, he's coming right now in an helicopter. Mm-hmm. Not a traditional sleigh cart.
She's very obsessed with that.
I know.
It's not the traditional sleigh cart.
Why did she feel the need so desperately to update The Legend of Santa Claus and His Sleigh, which, by the way, seems to have been fairly effective and fairly popular? I mean, it seems to me like it's a step backwards if now Santa is on a traditional helicopter that has to have limited fuel.
Yeah, he's got to stop for gas way too often to make it.
Like every 35 seconds, he's got to stop for gas. What's up with that? Look, it's hard for me to make fun of other people's English because, believe me, Wing's English is way better than my Korean. But doesn't it sound like when she's doing this that English is like her fourth or fifth language and she's just barely hanging on?
She has no idea what she's saying. She's just...
And I love that. I love that producer Rappy McRapperson, who's been a frequent guest on the Kevin DeBeach Show, I love that he gives her the thumbs up at the end of this set, this take, and goes, nailed it.
Good sesh. Nice work.
Feelings in the friend, of a nursery.
Okay, so he lands in the front yard of our nursery.
Okay. Right.
Oh, the baby's time for moms. He fits them well.
Now, we were positive that we heard the word fist. That's not the case. Apparently, if the kids are hungry, he feeds them.
Feeds them milk.
Santa feeds them milk.
Yeah, because the other way is not appropriate.
She doesn't say feeds. We're guessing that's what she means when she says this.
They are hungry. Then he returned to the helicopter and makes a big landing.
By the way, if he's feeding kids, I mean, are we adding to Santa Claus's burden here? Delivering gifts all around the world, not enough for him to do. Now he's got to feed all the children?
It does seem like he's already busy. But they say if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person, right?
In the city. Dance. Santa dance.
Huh?
Dance! Helicopter dance!
I think she's saying dance, helicopter dance.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what that means.
Dance! Santa Claus dance!
Now she's making him dance! He's got to feed the kids, he's got to drop off the gifts, and the fat man has to dance.
Break it down.
For Lucinda, he's playing a flute.
Now he's playing a flute.
Follow Santa, get the secret route to the church to place the law. All the children follow Santa down the road, sons and daughters. But if you are silly, you can walk. Santa take you to a helicopter. Santa Claus!
She ran out of time there.
Yeah, she did.
If you don't feel good, you got to have Santa Claus.
She runs out of time. You have to admit, though, in the thousands of years that people have been doing holiday songs, this is one of the more ambitious ones. I mean, she really, this could be a movie. There's so much going on in it.
You got to see the video. Go to kevinandbeat.com and either search for Wing or Internet Roundup. We did put it on the Internet Roundup so you can see the actual video of this song. That's enough of that. Let's get into our second favorite.
We don't have time for a sneak peek here. Because we got Ralph's interview with his dad, and we got the guy who wrote the book. We'll have time for that later. But let me ask you this question on Wing, because I got an email from a listener in Ireland today. He and the whole office listened to the Kevin DeBeach Show. Thank you for that, by the way. Wants to know if there's an actual Wing fan, somebody who would hear us playing Santa on a Helicopter and then go to iTunes or go to Wing's website and actually buy it. Do you think somebody really is buying it? I do.
I do too, yeah.
I think she's got fans. She wouldn't keep making records if they weren't selling, right?
I think she does for the... I think, listen, I've bought every album she's put out.
Yeah, but I have too.
Right, but
I love Wing.
Because she's horrible. I mean, let's be honest. It's bad.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Yes, she's a terrible singer, and she's a terrible style in the way she, much like this sentence.
You want to try that again?
No, I don't. No. But my question is, not ironically, you actually legitimately have fun and enjoy it when you are listening to Wing sing, right?
Yeah, because she means it.
Not because it's good, but because for some reason it's captivating. You can't stop listening to it.
Horrible. But she really, really means it. So you got to give her props for
that. Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Okay, so the earlier notes that were higher. No, that's not enough. I'm going to really challenge myself.
Ouch.
All right. Yeah, that's a terrible song, and it's painful.
Suck it, Susan Boyle. We're going to talk to the author of a book called How to Disappear, Erase Your Digital Footprint, Leave False Trails, and Vanish Without a Trace. This is my hero. I can't wait to have Frank Ahern on, and that'll be in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. First, though, Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Ralph, you've made no secret of the fact that you hate this job and you'll leave as soon as you can. But occasionally...
Yeah, I've made no secret, too, that it's not going to happen because no one else will have me.
Oh, I don't know, man. Hooking up with Smith may be your ticket out of here. The way things are going, you're going great with you guys in the podcast.
Yeah, he'll get a TV show and then I'll be doing it alone. Yeah. I know how it works.
But you also admit that occasionally there are some perks that come along with being on the Kevin and Bean Show, and you had the opportunity to experience one of those this week.
The best thing about this show is meeting your heroes. And I've had that happen to me over and over and over again through the years. When Jeff Bridges, when we hang out and interview him, one of my heroes, Adam West, of course, TV's Batman, will be on tomorrow, by the way. We're going to have him on. And then the many chances I've had to sit down and chat with Hugh Hefner, who is quite the guy. And I know Hefner now is sort of seen as the guy in the pajamas who has the mansion and the hot, smoking hot girlfriends.
Two or three, usually.
Has the parties. And that he is the face of Playboy. He is the Playboy lifestyle personified. I get that. But this new documentary that's out now called Hugh Hefner, Playboy Activist and Rebel, shows you another side of the guy that I think it's really important that people know about. Especially as you look back over his life and over the legend that has become Playboy magazine. He is that guy. He does live that lifestyle, and he enjoys it and makes no bones about it. But also, he has been in the center of some of the biggest, most controversial social, religious, sexual issues in America over the past 50 years. And it's remarkable that this movie documents that. And you get to see how he was the first guy on television to have interracial acts perform on television.
Oh,
like
no
a
kidding.
Singing group with black and white people
just
together.
Even singing.
Couldn't have that on television
when
he did it. The first black comedian ever to play to an all-white audience. Never happened before the Playboy Club when Dick Gregory was put up on stage by Hugh Hefner. He had...
this is all great, but there are boobs in it, right?
There's plenty of the Playboy lifestyle in it.
All right.
But I think it's very fascinating because this is part of his life that you don't hear talked about very much. How he was on the forefront of gay rights, contraceptive issues, race relations. It is a fascinating look not only at the man, but at American history over the past 50 years.
There's nudity as well.
Kevin, I think you're missing the point of what I'm trying to say here. There's plenty of nudity in the magazine. It talks about the history of the magazine,
no,
which
but
is
in
also
the movie.
Fascinating. There's not a lot of nudity in the movie, no, because it's a documentary. Mostly it's interviews and talking about the man's life, Kevin. There are other sources for that if you're looking for naked girls.
Speaking of interviews and talking about the man's life, you've got an interview right now for us with Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner, Playboy Activist and Rebels, the name of the documentary, and here I am at the mansion talking to Hugh about it.
I want to talk about the documentary, which I saw and is terrific.
Thank you.
It is.
As I was looking at it, and I looked back over not only your life, but the history of Playboy, it reminded me of all of the social issues that you've been in the center of for over 50 years. Rights for women with contraception and abortion rights and equal rights for homosexuals and of course, the sexual aspect of it. And yet, it seems to me that Playboy is still primarily known for the brand and the lifestyle. Does that bother you at all that you're not given more credit, perhaps, for your work with race relations and in other areas?
Well, I think it's understandable. Ray Bradbury, an early and longtime contributor to Playboy, made the observation early on. He said, people don't see the forest because of the tees. In other words, it's all the pretty ladies in the magazine and the pretty ladies in my life that confuse the issue. But it's all a little more complex than that. And I started the magazine, with no money, really as a dream. And could not have imagined when it started what it was going to turn into. Once it became successful, I started the magazine in 1953. Once it became successful and we moved into the 1960s, I saw the opportunity to infuse the magazine with the other part of what I'm all about, which is really commitment to social change and trying to make it a better world. And we've had some success in that.
I was struck when I was watching the movie that you seemed to be on the right side of a lot of issues early on when it came to race relations, when it came to the treatment of homosexuals in society, when it came to the draconian marijuana laws. And yet some people, some feminists especially, would still like to paint you as the villain. And Susan Brown Miller in this film certainly still holds you in that regard. Is that disturbing to you at all? Does that bother you?
Well, I think if that wasn't the case, there wouldn't be any need for it all. I mean, the reality is, it is the controversy that made possible the change. I mean, the fact that we are still hung up in terms of sexuality, and that in some places, some feminists and others view Playboy as the enemy, is a reflection, I think, of the fact that essentially we remain very Puritan people. I mean, that's who we are. We're fascinated with things sexuality related to sex, but we also feel shame and guilt related to it. That is the history of America. You know, the Puritans left England initially to escape from religious persecution and promptly turned around and started persecuting the people they didn't agree with. And that's where the Scarlet Letter came from and the stocks. And much of it was related to sexuality. What I tried to do with Playboy was not create a sex magazine, but create a lifestyle magazine in which sex was incorporated as a natural part and a romantic part of the whole of being. That's what I think Playboy is all about, and I think that's why Playboy is still around. Highly regarded where other magazines have gone the way of history.
We've come so far in the 57 years since Playboy was founded in terms of sexual content that's available to Americans. Playboy now looks quaint in comparison to most of the things you can find on the internet and things like that. And yet there is still such a sense of repression amongst Americans in regards to sex. Why do you think we've come so far in one aspect of our sexuality, and yet Americans seem to be retarded in another way?
Retarded is a good choice of words. I do think that it is simply the way of things. I said very early on that perceptions in terms of Playboy and of me are like an inkblot test. I think people project their own prejudices and dreams and fantasies onto my life and onto Playboy. And that is simply the way of things. When somebody writes about Playboy or says something about Playboy, a little bit of what they're talking about is true, and a large part of it is simply their own perceptions. And I think that's the way of things. I think that sex itself is so personal and, for some, so controversial that it is the way of things.
Well, for many men of my generation and my friends, the Playboy lifestyle was something we aspired to. It was something we knew we probably wouldn't be able to attain, but it was a pretty good role model to have a good time and to live the life we wanted to lead. And you have said yourself that you've sort of created yourself in the image of Mr. Playboy. You sort of reinvented yourself. And I thought in the video, in the movie, it was interesting where James Caan said, you seemed to be such a busy guy because not only were you running a magazine, but you were busy being the person that everyone expected you to be. Is there a lot of work and time and effort that goes into being Hugh Hefner?
Work, work, work. the simple truth of the matter is, I have taken great joy and pleasure and satisfaction in living the life, in accomplishing what I've accomplished. I think anybody's lucky who is able to do what they believe in and make some difference in the world. I think one really needs to understand that from the beginning, it was not really a business enterprise for me. It was a dream fulfilled. And on many levels, I consider myself the luckiest cat on the planet.
The lesson I took away from the film ultimately at the end was you really can't be truly happy, I think, unless you have the courage to follow your dreams. And it seemed like that was a decision you made early on that made everything else possible.
Well, I think that's true, and it's something that I would say to any young person. I think there are so many things in society that urge you to compromise or cop out or, you know, take the easy road. And I think that the most satisfying life is one in which one pursues those earliest dreams comes as close to them as you can.
Have I ever looked forward to a guest more than this next one, Kevin?
No, and that's a little shocking, but no, you
haven't. I have been planning on disappearing my whole life. It's just a question of getting my ducks in a row before I go, and this next guest is the one who's going to help me do it. Frank Ahern has written a book called How to Disappear, Erase Your Digital Footprint, Leave False Trails, and Vanish Without a Trace. Frank, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. Much appreciated. I'm good.
Describe for us what a skip tracer is to begin, because that's how you got started this whole thing, right?
Right. A skip tracer is someone who locates people, locates information, you know, for attorneys, law firms, insurance companies. So basically, if you could afford it, I could find them.
You mentioned in the book, tabloids would hire you to when the Michael Jackson kid, you know, payoff scandal was going on. And Ozzy, you got Ozzy's personal phone numbers and stuff.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of work for the tabloids.
Okay. So I would imagine that it used to be a lot easier to disappear before everybody started leaving digital footprints everywhere. It seems to me that it seems to me like you're tracked every minute of every day, especially if you ever use the internet. Is that true, Frank?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're leaving a whole lot more information about you. But the other problem is other people are putting up information about you in their social networking site, which is a big problem.
So a friend will put up a picture of you and you're trying not to have that out, right? That's what you mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've worked things where I've found, like, the drunk tailgating parties, the, you know, the passed out pictures of people on other people's MySpaces. Yeah, so that's a big problem, is the information other people put out there about you.
Now, tell me about, I found it fascinating when I was reading through this book that you said you could find people, for the most part, if you didn't have a computer.
Well, we never used computers to find people. Typically, what we did was did it all pre-text over the phone. I mean, besides the footprints you leave behind online, you know, there were cell phones, phone records, utilities, cable, pizza shops, Blockbusters. I mean, you have information all over the place, so it was just a question of tapping into those sources.
So you would call, you would lie to those people and get them to trust you and give you bank information or whatever.
That was in the old days, yeah. It's, like, seriously illegal now. But, yeah.
Then listen, how disappointed Frank is.
Yeah, you know, they kind of ruined a good thing there, but, you know, I guess some things come to an end.
Sure.
Frank, who's the audience for your book? Who would buy a book called How to Disappear and Why?
You know, it's pretty wide. I think it's just the average person who's interested in, you know, being more aware about privacy because, you know, it runs the gamut from extreme disappearing and privacy to just general privacy. I think the key is when you put it down, you kind of go like, wow, I didn't realize people can find that out about me. And not only that, how it can be used against them.
Is this kind of like, is the life that you would recommend to people who want to disappear, who really want to drop out? Let's just say me as an example. If I just wanted to get out of this hellish existence that I'm in and start over somewhere with a new name. Is the key to just change everything about your habits so that people who know that you're, you know, like I'm a big baseball fan. Well, don't ever go to another professional baseball game because that's where they're going to be looking for me. Is that the type of advice you give people?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, if you're an avid bowler, you can't pick up and go to Des Moines and join the bowling team because you'll leave that. You know, I'll locate you somehow. So, I mean, that's part of it, is changing your lifestyle. Definitely.
It struck me as too much work. and I'm talking about
a lot of work.
For the people who want to really disappear. And we've talked to people on the show before who fake their own death.
I mean, get out of a bad relationship or whatever, right.
But it seems like you seriously have to do so much work to disappear that's just almost not worth it.
Yeah, well, listen, if you got a stalker who's, like, hunting you down and throwing dead animals in your yard, you might consider
it
being worth it, you know. I mean, listen, it's very extreme, okay, there's no doubt about that, but there are people who find themselves in those extreme situations, and they have no other choice.
By the way, our guest on the phone right now is Frank Ahern. He has written a book called How to Disappear, Erase Your Digital Footprint, Leave False Trails, and Vanish Without a Trace. You can get it on Amazon or in bookstores everywhere. Since 9/11, the government has seriously tightened up a lot of ID cards, right? It's a lot harder to get a fake driver's license. It's a lot harder to get a fake passport. That stuff is still possible to find, though, if you need it, if you want to change your identity, right? And do it under the radar, right, Frank?
I mean, you can do it, but I suggest not using a fake identity because the problem is you don't know whose identity you're buying. I mean, for all you know, it's a pedophile on like a list, or you know, there's a warrant for their arrest, or 19 other people have that same name.
But what do you do then if you want to disappear? Don't you need another identity?
No, not at all. You can basically exist off the grid, and you can use corporations. I mean, you can own things in corporations, utilities, phone, and you just become a virtual entity is what the goal is.
Oh, right. See, now that tip alone might be worth buying the book. So you're saying don't change my name, just put everything that I have to deal with in a corporation's name.
Right. I mean, the idea of changing your name the way it used to be, you could do it several years ago, it made sense. But today, it's not a thing to do.
All right, for people who don't want to drop out entirely, and unfortunately, we're running short on time, but for people who don't want to drop out entirely, but aren't particularly thrilled with how much information is out there, what's the biggest mistake they make, and what's the best thing they could do?
The biggest mistake they make are two. One, when customer service says, oh, by the way, can we have a contact number for you and where you work, just telling them the truth. Number two is really rethink your social networking. Do you really want to put all that information out there? You wouldn't tell it to a stranger on a plane, so why put it online?
I will tell you that it's horrifying if you do a little Googling of yourself and find out how easy it is to find out, somebody to find out your address and phone number and things like that, because there are a lot of things in publicly available records that we don't expect to find that are pretty easy for other people to track down, and that's some of the things that you talk about in the book. It really, I mean, like Kevin said, even if you're not really trying to disappear, if you are concerned about your online virtual presence, this is definitely a book you want to check out. It's called How to Disappear, Erase Your Digital Footprint, Leave False Trails, and Vanish Without a Trace. Frank, this is not only the last time you'll ever hear from me, this is the last time anyone may ever hear from me, so I'm glad you were my final interview on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Have a great holiday.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Southern California Gas Company. On the eastbound 10 past Overland, there's an injury accident tying up the right three lanes of traffic. It's slow from Cloverfield. In Torrance, the left lane is blocked with a stalled car on the northbound 405 before Crenshaw. The southbound Golden State Freeway jams up around Verdugo and stays slow into the East LA interchange. There's also a stalled big rig before Mission in the number two lane and a wreck before 4th in the left three lanes. And then watch out for a stall on the northbound 5 at Calzona. Tip of the day from the gas company, be safe. Help prevent potential carbon monoxide poisoning by keeping natural gas appliances well-maintained. Never use your oven, range, or outdoor barbecue to heat your home. Visit SoCalGas.com/MySafety for more safety tips. I'm Alex with K-Rock Traffic.
Hi. Thank you, Alex. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:53.
Thank you.
I'm against people filling in for Lisa when she doesn't have a voice. I think Lisa should have to do the traffic.
She can't do the traffic.
Nobody could hear her. Nobody would be able to. I do have good news for you, Kevin, because Lisa is going to have to talk.
Right
after the top of the hour, we're going to play Lick Lisa, and it's going to be for tickets for night number two of the Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert, which, as you know, is Phoenix, Vampire Weekend, Brandon Flowers, Black Keys, Temper Trap, Neon Trees, Florence and the Machine, Edward Sharp, and the E Street Band, also Broken Bells and Switch, whatever his band's called. That's going to be Sunday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. It is, of course, sold out. If you'd like to be a contestant and try to win your tickets for night number two, call now, 1-800-520-1067.
I'm sorry, what's the name of the game? Lisa?
Lick Lisa.
Yeah. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
I want to invite everyone tomorrow night to come out to see Kevin Smith and myself do our Hollywood Babylon show at the John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal City Walk.
It's going
to be quite the event. We sold out our first show. Tomorrow night's our second show. I think Psycho Mike's going to be coming by.
I am.
Dave the King of Mexico will be stopping by. Lisa came by on our opening night. And that's everyone important on the Kevin DeBean show. Come to see me. It's very nice.
Certainly everyone who likes you.
That's right. So it's 8 o'clock tomorrow night. John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal City Walk. You can go to BabylonRalph.com or BabylonKev.com for more details and to buy tickets there. But we'd love to see you come out. Because
not once, not never.
It's going to be good. A lot of Chelsea Handler news this week. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Katy Perry.
Yes.
Katy Brand.
All right. Next story. Moving on.
Come on, B.
No, Jason Alexander is going to go back on television. Now you know why I love the podcast so much.
Yeah.
Smith, not once, not never, not once, not ever, ever did that to me. I'm not, who are you, Captain Ruin Joke? When people need their jokes ruined, you come along to step on their jokes?
I didn't know that that was the story that you were going to do.
Yeah,
I was
right.
Just talking about Katy Perry.
Right, but let him start the story before you...
That's an all-time record, I think.
That way you'll know what he's going to say.
Now I feel bad.
You should.
What's going on with Katy Perry? Is she changing her name because she's married, Ralph?
Looks like Jason Alexander's going to be back on television next fall. Oh, thank God.
After what he's doing to Britney Spears right now, I don't ever want to see that guy on
TV. Different Jason Alexander. I really
missed him since Listen Up was fired. was canceled, rather, back in 2005. Come on, Listen Up. It's a hilarious sitcom.
I don't remember Listen Up.
Where he played a radio talk show host. You remember Listen Up?
No.
Yeah, no one else does either, by the way.
No.
Yeah, Lisa watched every episode.
I didn't hear it. You watch that?
No.
Okay.
Jason Alexander will be returning on television to an hour-long series on CBS. He will play a former TV star who's down on his luck. Well, so far so good. Who winds up joining his ex-wife's detective agency. See what they did there? Is he going to be a fish out of water? As a detective and a former TV star. By the way, Adam West did a TV series years ago called Look Well, where he played a former TV detective who becomes a real-life detective. He was really horrible at it, and it was hilarious. Conan O'Brien wrote it, and now Jason Alexander's doing it.
Hmm. Oh, my God, who the hell cares?
Jason Alexander gets a series. Conan O'Brien could not get the series made. So.
Yeah. And by the way, Jason Alexander was great on Seinfeld. He obviously is a very gifted comedic actor, but it just goes to show you how tough it is to get involved with a good show.
Just goes to show you.
Any news on Katy Perry?
Eva Longoria is looking for someone to remove her wedding date from her wrist. Apparently she had a tattoo of 07-07-07. They were married on the 7th of July in 2007.
Yeah.
And she had that tattooed on her wrist. And now, along with Tony's jersey number on her neck, she needs to get that removed from her wrist. Friends say she is eager to get all the body art related to Tony removed from her body.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
In better relationship news, congratulations to Drea Di Matteo.
Yeah.
She, of course, was on The Sopranos.
Well, thank you.
She is pregnant with her second child from Shooter Jennings.
Yeah.
Go, Shooter! That's why they don't call him Shooter Blank Jennings. Because he's having a second baby, see?
I'm marking that.
File.
They've been together for 9 years. They have a three-year-old daughter named Alabama Gypsy Rose.
Come on,
Jennings.
Now.
Alabama Gypsy Rose Jennings.
Wow.
And no word yet on what horrible name they're going to saddle their second child with. So
it's got to be Mississippi or Arkansas or something, right?
It has to be. And Jaden Smith, Will and Jada Pinkett Smith's son, who of course starred in The Karate Kid, was he's a big star now. He went to the birthday party of Jake T. Austin. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. He's on the Disney Channel.
He's a $6 million man.
No, that's Steve Austin. He's the man barely alive.
Jake T.
Jake T. Austin, his 16th birthday party was held recently, and Selena Gomez was there, and Jennifer Stone, and Boo Boo Stewart. You know, all the stars.
Sure.
And they said they needed a bodyguard for Jaden Smith to make his way through the crowd because he was so wildly popular.
So you know karate?
That's right. Can he take care of himself?
Come on now.
A source tells the New York Post that Jaden won a dance-off at the party, and several girls came up to him and asked him to go out after the party with them. He said, I'm only 12. I've got to go home with my parents.
Oh, God.
Gay! Oh, gay! Oh. I'm just kidding. He is only 12. He did have to go home with his parents.
Still. By the way, if we were worried about him being a big movie star, I don't think we need to, because isn't his next movie going to be with M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong?
Oh, that's right. I heard
that should
was.
Kill whatever burgeoning career he has,
I'll
right?
Snuff that right out. Mm. Today's celebrity birthdays. American Idol judge Cara Diaguardi celebrates her 40th birthday today. Trey Kuhl of Green Day is 38. Jesse Metcalf from Desperate Housewives is 32, as is his co-star Felicity Huffman. She celebrates her birthday today, 48. John Malkovich is 57. Beau Bridges of the acting Bridges family is 69. Dick Van Patten is 82. Kirk Douglas is 94. And my little 10-year-old buddy David Cruz celebrates his birthday today. I want to give him a shout-out because he wrote me and said he's a big Batman fan, and he wanted to thank me for turning him on to Batman.
Okay.
Happy birthday, David. Happy.
Don't go away. The most horrendous is yet to happen.
That's right.
Good advice for little David.
And on the Kevin and Bean Show, that's almost always true. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. More chances, in fact, a couple of different ways for you to win. If you want to join us this weekend at the Almost Acoustic Christmas Concerts, there is always a song to be listening for. And if I had the paper in front of me, which our interns sent completely out of order, I would tell you that it is Crossfire by Brandon Flowers. When you hear that, be caller 21, and you will win the tickets. Plus, we'll give you a chance to earn them before the end of today's Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, you want to give away a pair of tickets right now for Lick Lisa?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard.
And it's sick.
But if you do lick Lisa,
you'll probably get Hep C.
Something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa. 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 But keep clear of her vagina.
Oh, too many rules. Lisa May, since you sound better than ever before, why don't you explain to our listeners and the callers on the hold how the game is played?
Bean will ask a question.
What?
Bean will ask a question.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The answer is a number.
We could send Lisa home, by the way. But no way.
A number.
This is great.
You're going to give a number?
And then the listener will say higher, lower, or the same.
Okay, gotcha.
And if they're right, they go into the drawing.
Okay, and if they're right, that means they've been able to lick Lisa, and we actually have somebody licking you in studio today, as usual, who's really taken his life into his hands today because you're patient zero at this point.
Yeah.
Who's going to be doing the guest licker today?
Wario, our intern. Wario.
Hi, Wario, whoever the hell you are. All right, let's play the game. We'll go to contestant number one. We'll just take them in order and start with Richard on line one. Hey, Richard.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
All right, Richard, so you know how the game is played. The answer is a number. Remember, let Lisa answer first. Here we go. Wee, the Frenchies, Christian and Laurent, in Phoenix, the band Phoenix, are actually brothers. Joaquin Phoenix has directed music videos for She Wants Revenge and Silver Sun Pickups. Here's your question, Lisa. Phoenix, Arizona, has what average temperature in the month of December?
I'm going to say 78.
What?
78. 78 degrees.
How much? I'm sorry.
78.
Richard, what do you think? Is that right on, or is the correct answer higher or lower than what Lisa said?
Lower.
Lower yes, 67 degrees is the average temperature in December. I can't believe those people can survive such a winter. Congratulations. You've licked Lisa. Wario, go ahead and take your side. Any place but the vagina.
Yeah. He's going back of the neck. He's probably smart. Still going to lose his voice, but...
He's just trying to stay away from her mouth so he doesn't catch it.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hi, Kevin and Venus. Lindsay from yesterday.
Hi, Lindsay from yesterday! Now, so Lindsay, you were one of the finalists to win tickets yesterday and then did not get picked, if I remember correctly.
I know. I almost cried.
Okay, well, I can't believe you got through again, but here you go. Here's your question. Listen up. Remember, Lisa answers first. Vampire Weekend play in the show that you're trying to get tickets for. They were photographed for the cover of Spin magazine before their first album even came out. Speaking of vampires, Lisa, what is the paperback page count of Stephenie Meyer's first hit book, Twilight? How many pages in the Twilight version, the paperback version of the book Twilight?
I'm going to say about 400.
How much?
400.
400.
How many?
400.
Lindsay, what do you say, girlfriend?
Higher.
Higher's correct.
Yes. Well done. 544 pages. You've licked Lisa.
All right. You're going in the drawing. Congratulations. Right. Good luck, Lindsay.
Wario, where are you going to lick?
Wario's poor going Lindsay, with you, by the way.
Poor Lindsay. Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Took her.
That's a tongue bath.
That took her a bit by surprise. All right. Let's go to Margarita. Hi, Margarita.
Hi.
Hi.
All right, listen up. Here's your question. Lighted trees outside a California restaurant were the inspiration for the band name Neon Trees. Cut from Mahopic, New York, what is the height in feet of this year's Norway spruce Christmas tree that can currently be seen in Rockefeller Center, New York? How tall is this year's Rockefeller Center Christmas tree, Lisa May?
35 feet.
I'm sorry?
35 feet.
How high?
Rockefeller Center, Lisa. Rockefeller.
She
knows
that.
What?
No, 35
feet.
35 feet. All right, Margarita, is it 35 feet or is it higher or lower?
Higher.
Higher's yes, correct. Yes. 74 feet is nicely how big done. The tree is this
okay,
year.
It's
congratulations.
A little higher.
Oh, I'm sorry?
It's a little higher.
Yeah.
Like more than twice. All right, so everyone so far in the drawing. Who's our
wait,
next contestant?
Wait, there's not a been licking yet.
Oh, what?
That's I'm sorry. Wario, I forgot. You got to let you lick here.
Yeah.
What are you going to go for now?
Oh, face! Oh, nose!
He went for her nose.
Oh, wow.
He wants to get sick.
He does.
I guess so.
Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hey, what did you do?
Yes.
I have a lot of confidence in Michael's ability as a game player here. All right. The Black Keys, one of the bands we are most excited about seeing Sunday night, were recently nominated for 4 Grammy Awards, including the Best Rock Song and Best Alternative Album. Alicia Keys, Lisa, has won how many Grammy Awards to date? The Black Keys' little sister, Alicia, has won how many Grammys?
Eight.
Eight.
All right. Is that the correct answer, or is the real answer higher or lower, Michael?
Higher.
No, I'm sorry. I told you I had a bad feeling about Michael. Just 5. She's won 5 Grammys so far, but thank you for playing.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Andy. Hi, Andy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's doing well, except for Lisa's voice. How do you think it's going, Lisa?
It's great.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron appears in the music video for Crossfire by Brandon Flowers. The flowering poinsettia plant is a popular Christmas decoration, so much so that the Comanche Trail Park in Big Spring, Texas, bills itself as the Christmas poinsettia capital of the world. Lisa, what is the population of Big Spring, Texas?
Is Alex our producer on 4 Loko?
Yes. Yes, she's on 4 Loko. Exactly. Right. I do need some sort of a Venn diagram to follow some of these questions, but
how many people?
I'm going to say 150,000.
150,000. All right, Andy, is the real answer 150,000 or is it higher or lower?
I'd say higher.
Higher.
I'd say we'd have all heard of Big Spring, Texas if it had 150,000. No, just 25,233 people. I'm sorry. All right, I think we have time for one more contestant. Who do you like?
Let's go with Jasmine. Hi, Jasmine.
Good morning.
All right, Jasmine, good luck. Florence Welsh, who we all fell desperately in love with when she stopped by the Kevin and Bean Show recently, previously worked as a bartender before attending Camberwell Art College and forming her band, Florence and the Machine. The largest snowmaking machines in the West are in Heavenly Tahoe. Heavenly's snowmaking crews, Lisa, make an average of how many inches of additional snow each ski season? Of course, they get plenty of snow from above, but they also make snow how much?
How many inches per year? Or each ski season, so...
I don't know. 80 inches.
How many?
80.
I can't.
80.
I can't make out.
I have no idea.
80?
80.
Okay, she's saying 80. Is that right, or is the real answer higher or lower?
Lower.
Yes, that's right. No, that's wrong. It's higher. It's 120 inches. 120 inches. Nice try, though. Thank you very much. All right, so who's in the drawing here? Margarita, Richard, Lindsay, all in the drawing?
That's it. Those three.
Okay, those three. Lisa, who's going to win? And then please read the bands that are going to be playing night number two for us.
I thought that's Kevin right. was doing the drawing.
Oh.
Sorry.
And the winner is Lindsay.
Right. Lindsay!
How about yeah! that?
Yes, but don't make that noise. Hey.
You guys, I've got in trouble so many times for calling you guys during class. I'm actually late for class right now.
Excellent.
Take your tickets away. Take your tickets away.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have a no truancy policy at the Kevin and Bean Show. You're not eligible. I'm
Congratulations.
Sorry.
Congratulations. Here's Lisa to tell you which bands you're going to see.
No, I'm not.
Here's Lisa. All right, Lindsay. We'll see you Sunday night. Thanks a lot for playing. Lick Lisa.
Lick, all right, take it easy. Lick Lisa, but keep clear of her vagina.
Very excited. We're going to be talking to New York Times media reporter Bill Carter. He has written another book about the late night wars, this time about that whole debacle with Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien, and it involved our friend Jimmy Kimmel for a minute, and a fascinating story. So we have that straight ahead, Ralph. So let's cut out the part where you complain that we're going to call the wheel a bad animal voice, because this is going to be awesome.
That's a great idea. You know what? Let's cut out the part where you spin the wheel, too. That's even better. Let's go right to Bill Carter and talk about his fascinating book.
Well, he's not ready right to second.
Well, let's do anything else then.
Right, I know you're going to complain about us calling the wheel a bad animal voice, but you know we're going to do it anyway, so just ixnay on the O-test pray is what
I'm
saying.
How about we leave the protest in and we don't do the wheel part?
But then there's no payoff. Save
even more time.
No payoff.
You know what the payoff is? No one has to sit through the wheel of bad animal voices.
All right, here's what's on the wheel. The giant Japanese...
Stop it!
The giant Japanese jellyfish.
Stop Why does it. He never land on that?
The Australian fat camp kookaburra bird.
F you.
The Dick Van Dyke rescuing porpoises.
I don't see what Dick Van Dyke's doing on the wheel. Why he's rescuing porpoises, I have
no idea. The human-faced lamb in heaven.
Never going to do it.
The Israeli attack shark.
Not happening.
The drunk Australian parrots.
Nope.
Merlin the iPad using dolphin.
No, thank you.
Renegade kangaroos.
Yeah, right. Not now, not never.
The tweeting Ugandan gorillas.
Uh-uh.
Do you see how many stories we have?
Nope.com.
Female snails with penis heads. So those are our choices.
What the hell?
Those
are you proud of yourself?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. So how do we do this? We play the theme? I forget now.
Yes.
We play
never
the theme.
Got
play
it right
the
once. All right. Not now, not never.
So we play the theme now? All right.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time
somewhere else. We don't need your negative vibes here.
How did we cut down on the intro?
We don't
like
need
4
your...
minutes long.
It's the Israeli attack shark.
Oh. How about that?
Yeah, all right. Not participating in this.
This is a great story.
Ralph,
this is a great story.
Goodbye,
no, come back. This is you'll like this.
All right,
he always misses out.
Here's what happened, and this is awesome. There's a tourist town in Egypt, and I believe it's named Sham Ashik. Something like that.
Okay.
And there were Russians there on the beach, and they were out in the water, and they were enjoying themselves, and then they got mauled by sharks. 4 Russians got mauled by sharks. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So then the Egyptian officials come in, and remember, it's a tourist town. So the Egyptian officials come in, and they pronounce it clear. Everything's cool. It's all good. No sharks in the area. That was weird, but it's all good. Woman goes out, killed by shark.
Oh, dude, that can't be good for tourism, right?
Egyptian officials, and this is the part that is unbelievable, Egyptian officials say they have not ruled out the possibility that the fatal shark attack in Sinai on Sunday could have been a plot by the Mossad.
Yeah!
Wait, so they're blaming Israel for attacking tourists in Egypt?
Yes. They say
that that's pretty strong.
The Mossad, which I think is their CIA...
I think so, yeah.
Yes. Is trying to hit the tourism industry by putting sharks in the area so that they bite people.
Wow. Or, an Israeli spy shark. I love
yes,
that.
Yes, the Israeli spy shark.
Well, we asked producer Alex to line somebody up, hard to believe, that we could talk to about this story. And I believe, do we have somebody from the Mossad on the line? Is that who we're talking to? What's going on here?
I think it is, yes.
Hello?
Yes, Kevin and Bean Show here. Who's this?
This is Shlomo.
Shlomo.
Yes.
Shlomo.
And you are...
You are familiar with the story that we were just describing to our listeners about the shark that attacked the people in Egypt?
Familiar? I'm in the story!
Are you the shark?
Yes.
What?
Yes,
why am
I am Shlomo Sharkenstein.
Why am I always so surprised when we talk to the animals?
They call me Shark for short.
Sure. Okay, I got you.
And you should know that I'm on a shell phone.
Okay. A shell phone, right, shell I understand. Phone. Get yes. it? I got that.
Because
yeah.
I'm underwater.
Right.
So I use a shell phone.
Right.
I am talking to you.
Okay. So what's going on? I mean, I know that there's been some bad blood between your nations, but seriously, Israel would send sharks to Egypt to try to kill people? What's happening?
That's ridiculous. First of all, why would they do such a thing? And secondly, how can they be sure that the shark will bite? There's no guarantees.
That's true.
In life. And also in shark.
That's true,
right? Yeah.
So it's a ridiculous story. And tell you the truth, you know, we don't even like the eating the Egyptians so much.
Right.
With my cholesterol, I can have one or two maybe a month. I had to eat a Lipitor salesman the other day.
Is that right?
My cholesterol's through the roof.
Now, are you controlled by the Mossad?
No.
You're not. Okay.
No, I am not controlled by anybody but Shlomo.
Okay.
I make my own choices.
Okay.
I'm an individual. And I say who I eat and when I eat them, and no one tells me otherwise.
Okay, did you maul the Russians?
I did maul a little Russian.
That was you.
Okay. A little Russian I maul from time to time.
Okay.
Because I love borscht.
Okay.
And that's what they taste like. A little bit of borscht is good.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, the Russians, you bite a Russian, you're drunk for a week.
No, I'm sure, yeah.
Because they love the vodka.
Did you wash the Russian down with an Egyptian?
Well, I took a little break.
Or German, I'm sorry, the German tourist.
What questions you've asked?
There was
now?
A German tourist, did
a
you?
A German?
Yes.
Yes.
You
he
did?
He was named Sharm el-Sheikh, right?
Yes, he was He was in the town of Sharm el-Sheikh.
Yes.
Yes.
Are we all
you
looking at the same
read story? The
story. I did.
Before you make the call. Okay. Yes, so, I took a nibble.
A nibble.
Okay.
Because she was a hotsy-totsy broad, I'm saying.
Oh, right. I
she
see.
Was
okay.
swimming and she had a thong on. And I said, oh, I got to bite that tuchus. And
okay.
So I took a little nibble, and I think, frankly, she liked it. Sometimes
well.
They say, nine, but they don't mean it.
Right.
Because I got 10.
Right. But she died.
What?
Was that you?
Oh, I didn't even know she was sick.
And good night.
You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show. It is a book club Thursday here on the program. I couldn't be more excited to welcome our next guest back to the program, Bill Carter, who we had on a couple of years ago when he was talking about his book about the Late Shift, the Letterman and Leno debacle, the battle for network late night, and they made that into a TV movie. Now he's back with another one. You never thought it could get crazier, but the whole thing that went down with Leno and with Conan is all talked about in a new book called The War for Late Night, When Leno Went Early and Television Went Crazy. Bill, great to have you back on the show, man. How are you?
Great to be with you guys.
That is a hell of a title, first of all. The War for Late Night, When yes. Leno Went Early and Television yes. Went Crazy.
I know, it's a bit of a mouthful.
A bit. You probably thought after you wrote The Late Shift, well, thank God I was alive to see that, because nothing that crazy will ever happen again on a network, right?
That is exactly right. People used to say to me, well, when are you going to write something like that? I said, nothing like that will ever happen again.
Yeah, you'll never have another chance.
How can I tell a story like that again?
What was the beginning of the problem, Bill? Did NBC make a mistake by saying, hey, Conan, stick around. We promise we'll give you the Tonight Show in 5 years. Was that the first mistake that got this whole ball rolling?
Well, it was certainly that was when they lit the fuse to this powder keg. But I think at the time they were looking at Conan, and Conan was really hot. He'd done the Emmy Awards. He was, you know, the most talked about guy in late night at that point. And they knew that they would lose him to Fox if they didn't guarantee in the Tonight Show. So they made this deal thinking, well, in 5 years, you know, Jay will probably have faded. Conan will be completely dominant, and it'll be obvious that, you know, we made the right move. But, of course, it didn't work out that way.
In retrospect, we can see what a huge mistake that was, because it set him up for trouble when both guys wanted that job. But
exactly.
At the time, did that seem like, in your opinion, as a guy who follows television, was that a fairly reasonable guess at that time?
No, but I didn't think any guess in television that goes 5 years in the future could ever be reasonable, because I thought you can't figure out television in 5 minutes.
This is not possible. Yeah.
So it seemed to me just that it was a wild shot in the dark. I also thought they unnecessarily made Leno a lame duck 5 years in advance, which seemed like a dumb thing to do with a guy who was number one.
But let's put yourself in that situation, though. If you know you're going to lose Conan, what do you do?
Yeah, I absolutely see that as the dilemma. I think they
just
at that point
in retrospect, not that.
Well, you can argue. See, here's the thing. You can argue what they did give them 5 years of profits from having both guys. I think then the problem is you have to make a decision at the end of that. Did I make the right call 5 years ago? If I didn't, then I have to make a different choice. And instead, they again tried to punt. They tried to punt again and say, well, we'll keep both guys again, and we'll move Jay to 10 o'clock and have the same thing again. And even then, and when that didn't work, they tried to keep them again.
Yeah, they did.
So they never really would make a choice. It really came down to we don't want to choose between these two guys.
Right. Is it too simplistic, Bill, to just say Jay Leno is the punk-ass bitch because he said he was going to walk away from the show and then he basically didn't because he wanted it back as soon as he could get it? I mean, can we put a lot of the blame on him, or do you not blame Jay for making the choices he made?
I think I look at this as an outsider, but I understand show business enough to know that you don't leave the stage if someone doesn't want you to leave the stage. And they didn't want him to leave. So in order for him to walk off, he would have had to make, I guess, a moral decision or an ethical decision. And how those words don't work in show business.
Right,
you know? Right. But it doesn't seem like it hurt him that much. I mean, everybody in the industry, guys like you and me and people we know and our friend Jimmy Kimmel and people like that, all look at Leno and go, wow, that was a despicable move. But the public seems to have continued to embrace him and like him, and it doesn't seem like there's been that much fallout from them.
Nothing has basically ever affected Jay in that way, because Jay works the middle of the country so well. You know, he doesn't work the media well. The media doesn't like him. And the rest of the comedy world seems to feel like he's, you know, overrated or whatever.
Well, he used to be funny.
When he did stand-up,
he was one of the best stand-ups, but it's been a long time since then.
But he made a conscious decision.
Yeah.
He made a conscious decision. I don't want to be David Letterman. I want to be Bob Hope.
Now, had he succeeded at 10 o'clock, would we still be having this conversation?
Or no. What? Okay. No, if he had succeeded at 10 o'clock, we would say this guy should now have wiped away all doubt about his ability, because he beat Letterman in late night. He's gone to 10 o'clock and he's changed the paradigm, because everybody would follow. The other networks would have to do a similar show because it would have saved NBC so much money. It would have looked like a breakthrough.
So it wasn't that Conan failed at the Tonight Show. It was that Jay Leno failed at 10?
Well, Jay Leno certainly didn't succeed at 10. Now, the question about Conan is, you know, would he have succeeded in the long term? Because he was obviously behind Letterman in the ratings. And, you know, part of that was Jay's bad lead-in. But he was behind Dave before Jay even went on the air. I think the question about Conan would have been, if you left him there, would he have eventually succeeded? Would his young audience have grown with him? That's the question we'll never be able to answer now.
Right. I have to be honest. Our guest is Bill Carter from the New York Times, national media reporter there, about his new book, The War for Late Night. I have to be honest and admit, Bill, that I was one of the people who thought Jay Leno at 10 o'clock had a shot at working. I knew that it could be profitable because it was much cheaper than building a drama for that time slot. But I also thought, here's your first crack at comedy and A-level guests in prime time. I didn't think it was that bad a gamble. Boy, I couldn't have been more wrong. Why do you think it failed so spectacularly?
I'll tell you why, because this isn't really a knock at Jay, but what comedy talent can do five nights of prime time, basically a comedy show? Because he can't do the Tonight. They were trying to do a hybrid, but he wanted to do a comedy show. Remember that guys like Jackie Gleason or Red Skelton used to do hour-long comedy. That's in television's past. But they did it once a week. They didn't do it every night of the week. It's just impossible to have that kind of high-quality comedy that you need in prime time, I believe, anyway.
And what if they had just done The Tonight Show? What if they had done a show as close to the actual 11:30 show that Leno had been doing at 10? Would that have succeeded more?
That might have done better, because I think Jay would have been more comfortable in the format, but that would have destroyed The Tonight Show.
There'd be no reason to watch that.
Exactly.
What did you think of Conan's eventual decision to go to basic cable?
I thought it was a decision he made on a personal ethics basis. He couldn't stand to stay at NBC anymore after he'd been dissed that way. And I understand that, but I also thought it was a career-risking move because, you know, TBS, nobody knew what the heck. They had never done any show like this.
Right.
I think he's a talent. I like Conan enormously. I like him as a guy. I like him as a talent. But I think, you know, he took a shot in the dark with this, and we'll see how it plays out. I mean, he's doing fine so far, but it's a long way to go.
One of the things I like about Conan is that he's willing to take risks, even with his comedy, with his bits and stuff like that.
Yes.
One of the things that it seemed like looking back on was no one had a better attitude about it than him. Is that accurate, or was he putting on a public face, but he had to be upset?
Oh, an attitude, better attitude toward what?
I'm saying in the press, he seemed like he was handling it well. He would play it off. He would just make jokes or whatever. He didn't ever seem bitter.
He was pissed, though. We knew he was pissed, oh, yeah, right? He was way pissed at Leno.
Well, what happened at the end here, he was unbelievably pissed. I mean, he was like, you know, he was almost, when I talked to him, the guy was shattered by this episode. He could barely talk. And if you brought up Jay Leno's name, it was like the old Niagara Falls bit in vaudeville. You know, slowly I turn. I mean, it was like you'd set him off just by mentioning Jay Leno's
name.
So you
just don't mention that name.
But the $40 million he got to walk away from NBC, oh, that had to soften the pain a little bit, right?
Yes, it's about $32 million, but who's counting? But yeah, right. Yeah. He look, I mean, and I think he has to recognize that, because he's got to be careful not to say this terrible thing happened to me, because the public watching thinks, well, you became this vastly wealthy man. Why should we feel sorry for you? So he has to be a little careful with that. But it's like Letterman. Letterman has never completely gotten over this.
Yeah.
He still talks about it. That's a scar that doesn't go away.
It's those kind of slights that are huge and public that make it so rough for them to get over.
Exactly.
Bill, how long is Leno going to stay in the Tonight Show chair, and what do you think will happen when he finally does actually retire?
Very interestingly, he came back and said he didn't think he would do it more than 2-3 more years, and that he would be very happy to have guest hosts now. You notice none of that is happening. I can't even imagine that happening. And by the way, Jay has slowly worked his way back into first place, not by much, and he's way off his big figures where he used to be. But this guy will work until he drops. There's no question about that. So I don't particularly see him leaving at the end of 2 or 3 years. I think that's unlikely.
Be funny if he turned around and retired right after this whole disaster.
That would never happen with this guy. He said to me, his mother was Scottish, you know, and he said, I'm Scottish. I die in the mine.
All right.
Oh, interesting.
Good.
By the way, not just because we're friends with the guy, but I honestly believe night for night, laugh for laugh, Jimmy Kimmel's show is the best of the late night shows. Do you have a favorite, or are you not allowed to say, Bill?
I'm not allowed to say, but I will tell you that I think Jimmy's show has improved gigantically. And the top of his show is now fantastic. His opening, he does a lot of jokes, he does a lot of bits, and they are consistently really, really good. He's doing a tremendous job.
He is our friend, so people obviously think that we're saying it because of that. But we also love his sense of humor.
I do, too. He really does make me laugh. I mean, he's genuine. But I have to say,
he's way better than Jay. You can say that.
But you know what? There's a lot of talent in late night now. Letterman is obviously a genius. He's not what he used to be.
Right.
You have Colbert and Stewart.
Yes.
You have a lot of talent in late night.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm telling you what, it's so fascinating when you get these people that you think you know from watching on the TV, and you see the egos and you see the executives involved in the backstage negotiations and who said what. It's a fascinating, fascinating read. The book is called The War for Late Night, When Leno Went Early and Television Went Crazy. It is available everywhere. I hope they make this one into a movie, too, because that was so fun, that last one.
Yeah, well, I'm available if they want to find the right.
And they got to get Tilda Swinton to play Conan, right? I mean, that's a slam dunk.
Listen, that's a home run.
You got to do that.
She said she would do it. I'm all for that.
Get the book online or in stores everywhere. Bill Carter, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Have a great holiday season.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
Omar? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is
100%!
It's 8:57.
There's too much yelling going on here on the Kevin DeBean Show. What's up with that? Lisa, yell. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to talk about this hot new craze. Apparently, it's a diet where you inject a pregnant woman's urine into you, and then the hormones help you lose. I don't know.
Hey, National Enquirer, stop making stuff up.
It's true. This is happening.
I heard you eat a monkey's brain, and then you have to turn around 3 times and we're going to go to the sun.
It sounds dumb like that, but there are people who are injecting the urine of pregnant women.
They go down to Osh, the hardware store, and pick up some pregnant chick urine?
No, you can get Amazon.com.
We will discuss coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday show. What's going on?
Before I beat you with Showbiz, I'd like to give away some passes to the very special Kevin DeBean advanced screening of True Grit, a little movie called True Grit.
Oh, my God.
The legendary genius Jeff Bridges is reunited with his Coen Brothers cohorts as they did The Big Lebowski back in the day. And now they bring you True Grit, and I cannot wait to see this movie. It's happening December the 14th at the Man Chinese Theater in Hollywood. That doesn't make any sense. At the Man Chinese Theater?
Hey!
I thought it was...
We don't know.
I thought it was at the Arclight.
You've been saying the Arclight.
You said Arclight.
That's what you have been saying.
The paperwork today says Mad Chinese Theater.
Maybe they changed it.
Maybe they did. I don't know. But anyway, wherever it is, we'll tell you where it is, and then you come there.
Right.
And then you watch the movie. And I'll be there, so I need to know where it is, too. So I'll find out for you.
We'll figure it out.
True Grit is in theaters everywhere on December the 22nd, but you'll see it before anybody else on December the 14th if you're one of the lucky five callers who get through right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Good luck, everybody.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
Not Taco Bell's not included, not involved in this whatsoever.
That's a terrible idea.
So Barbara Walters sat down with Oprah Winfrey for an hour-long interview.
Ugh. Baba Wawa?
What a disaster that must have been.
And she cried, of course.
Yeah.
Oprah did. Especially when talking about her BFF, Gail King, her best friend.
Wink, wink.
Gail. Wink. Barbara actually showed some journalistic instincts and asked her about the lesbian rumors involving her and Gail.
Wink, wink, wink.
Barbara did?
Yes. Here was Oprah's answer. I have said we are not gay enough times. I'm not lesbian. I'm not even kinda lesbian. And the reason why it irritates me is because it means that somebody must think I'm lying. That's number one. Number two, why would you want to hide it? That's not the way I run my life. Wink, wink, she said.
All right, let me ask you guys a hypothetical or theoretical, whichever one it is. I don't know the difference. If she were to come out as gay, would it impact her television ratings?
Tremendously. Yes.
Really?
Really? She'd lose a lot of folks?
Yes.
I would have guessed no.
You would have guessed that? You'd be wrong.
Wow.
I think it would make a huge impact on her fan base.
Really?
But she's Oprah. Don't people love Oprah?
Yeah, but if they found out that she was keeping that secret from them for 20 years, they would feel betrayed and lied to, and it would significantly rock their foundation.
Which kind of is what Oprah is saying, which is, look, I wouldn't lie about it. I'm truthful to my audience, and I'm telling you the truth, right?
Wink, wink, she said.
I don't think she says wink, wink.
She said, Gail is the mother I never had. She is the sister everybody would want. She is the friend that everybody deserves. I don't know a better person. I don't know a better person.
Wink, wink.
She in said. Bed.
So there you go. Rumor put to rest. And we listened to the new Michael Jackson track yesterday. I Can't Make It Another Day.
Right.
Lenny Kravitz. Collaborating with Michael on the track.
Right.
Playing guitar on the song, singing backup. Do we have a taste of that? Do we have a little taste of that track? Just letting you know.
No time
9:02. I'm just letting you know what time it is.
Right.
9:02.
Wait, can I have that record? I love that song.
All right, we'll find it.
No, it doesn't matter. It does. Dave Grohl, by the way, is drumming on that track. I did not know that until today, but I thought I'd play for you and give you a little sense that Dave Grohl is working on it. But now we don't have any time. Yes. So maybe you can find it yourself and then apply that information to that listening experience that I could not provide for you.
Mike literally can't find it.
Celebrity birthdays today. Kirk Douglas is 94 years old today. Dick Van Patten is 82. Beau Bridges of the Acting Bridges is 69 years old. John Malkovich is 57. Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives is 48 years old. Brian Bell of Weezer turns 42. Jacob Dylan of Wallflowers is 41. Trey Cool of Green Day is 38. Jesse Metcalf. The Desperate Housewives is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, Lisa, I got a question for you. Bitches be crazy, right?
Uh-huh.
What? Okay. I think Lisa's saying
sick
yes.
Today.
There's a brand new diet that involves women giving themselves a daily injection of urine from pregnant women. Yes, urine. The results so far have been pretty astonishing. Here's a woman named Cheryl Poloni who has lost 43 pounds since she started taking the injections back in June. It's not just the urine that does the trick, by the way. It's the hormone in the urine, which is something called human chorionic gratubahim.
Did he say that right, Mike?
HGC is what it's called. What's HGC all about, Michael?
HGC, by the way, is the same thing that Manny Ramirez got busted for.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, HGC is commonly used by bodybuilders and strength trainers and elite athletes to come off of a steroid cycle because it has the ability to kickstart your gonads after they've been shut down or suppressed for a
long time. And that's in a pregnant woman's urine?
Yeah.
But where do they shoot the urine? Exactly.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know if it's in pregnant women's urine. I do know that it's in higher levels in pregnant women than in regular women.
Oh, I see. Okay.
This article says that's why they're using the pregnant women's urine, is because it's got the HGC. Now, before we go to a friend of ours who's taking something like this, how does it work, Mike, if you know? What does that hormone do that enables you to lose? Well, does it speed up your metabolism?
Anything that makes women less estrogenic and have higher testosterone levels is going to make them have more muscle tone and less body fat. That's why men naturally carry less body fat than women. We have more testosterone. We produce more testosterone. Yeah. The leanest woman in the world is like, 7-8%. And that's through the roof lean. The leanest guys in the world are down in the 4%.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah. A healthy man walking around is, 10 to 12%. A healthy woman's up above 15. It's just naturally women have higher levels of body fat because hormonally they're set up that way. And also with the reproductive organs, there's a lot of other stuff. But whenever you can change the hormonal balance of a woman to be leaning more towards testosterone, it's going to help her.
So why don't they take men's pee?
It's a good question. The thing is that
I mean, both sound crazy.
If they were to take just straight up men's hormones, it would be very, very effective. It would also be very, very effective at screwing them up. I mean, because there's natural homeostasis that they have to stick with, to be a woman.
Yeah, so you lose weight, but you get a mustache.
Yeah, you get a mustache. And you have, a lady garden that looks like a croissant.
Now, when we brought up the crazy urine diet, which apparently, by the way, I'm reading an article about a place in Albuquerque that has just got, they can't keep up with the amount of urine that's being ordered. It's just going through the roof.
I was
going
to ask how you get it. I mean,
I'm not sure, but producer Alex came in and said, our friend Jillian, who we know, is on something similar to this. I don't know that it involves urine, but it does involve some sort of hormones. And by the way, we've all met Jillian. Jillian doesn't need to lose any weight. What's going on with you, girlfriend?
Oh, bitches be crazy. I work in this business. You know that. I try to keep up with the skinny
you look like,
first of all, go ahead. Well, please give me a compliment.
You look like you weigh 100 pounds. I'm just saying, you don't you
God
don't need,
bless you. I do not.
So
well, first
you,
of all,
what
it's
do you take?
It's HCG,
not
HGC.
Okay.
Human chorionic gonadotropin.
Right.
And I do not inject urine into my veins.
You do, it's though.
I do not.
It between your toes.
You met me. I can't needles.
You shoot it between your toes.
Get my ears pierced.
By the way, for those of you listening, and for you guys, do not confuse HCG with human growth hormone, HGH.
Correct.
Right,
which is commonly thrown out there. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. So what are you taking, Jillian? And
Well, first of all, this diet has been around forever, since like the 60s. I take drops. It's synthetic HCG that is created in a lab. I bought it on the internet.
Oh, it must be real.
Yeah, well, they send you, it's the craziest thing. In the package they send you, first of all, it's packed with like an ice pack, so it stays cool. You have to keep it in the refrigerator.
Sure.
And they send you this dollar store pregnancy test, which they say, put a little of the HCG drops on the pregnancy test, and you will get a positive pregnancy response. Because what home pregnancy tests for are HCG in women's urine.
Oh, I see.
It proves the existence of that.
So they're proving to you that is actually in there by having you get...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So I take these drops 3 times a day. I can't eat half an hour before and a half an hour after. I take them when I first get up in the morning, in the middle of the day, and right before I go to bed.
Right.
And the diet is actually... The thing that sucks about it is around the holidays, you cannot do anything. You need to basically be at home eating this. It's 500 calories a day, which I know, Mike,
what?
You're going to freak out about.
Isn't that what's making you lose the weight?
Yes.
Then?
Yes. Answer
no,
yes.
It's not.
Why do you need the HCG if you're only eating 500 calories a day?
I've never felt hungry. It gives me a feeling of this. I feel it's almost like not euphoria, but you don't concentrate on the fact that you basically are not eating a thing. It's 500 calories a day. For breakfast, you don't eat anything, and it's basically you can have as much coffee and tea as you want with 1 tablespoon of milk. For lunch, it's 3.5 ounces. You have to weigh. I buy a food scale. God, you weigh.
I've been using a food scale for about 8 years.
I know
so
you have, but
yeah.
This is ridiculous.
I don't have a food scale.
I know.
Nor do you need one.
Go ahead. Thank you.
So, 3.5 ounces of lean protein. You can do chicken, lean sirloin. You cannot do fish like salmon or tuna because apparently that has too much fat. And then a large serving of vegetables. It's on a
certain. But Jillian, that's why you're losing weight. If you did the exact same diet without the urine, without drinking pee.
I'm not drinking.
Come on.
Pee.
Why are you drinking pee?
There are two kinds of this diet. There are the drops because I can't do the injections, and there are people who actually go doctor supervised injections. I have several friends, including a guy I know, who has lost all to date over 75 pounds by doing this.
Right. Okay. Because he's eating 500 calories a day.
Yes.
Right. Not because he's taking golden showers.
If you were to inject HCG in your body, high amounts of it, tenfold what Jillian's taking.
Yes.
And eat 5,000 calories a day, not losing a pound. In fact, you're going to gain weight. You're gaining body fat. Now, if you were to eat 500 calories a day, no HCG, you'd still lose the same amount of weight. Guaranteed.
That's what I'm saying.
So why are you taking it?
If you read the manuscript that this doctor wrote, the doctor says he was in Italy and he found all these fat people who were on these really low restrictive calorie diets, and they would lose weight, but then they would gain it right back.
Yes.
What the HCG does is speed up your metabolism and resets your metabolism. It's only the program I'm on is 26 days. So you do the drops for 26 days. Then you do a modified, 1,800 calorie, like a regular diet where you're eating, lean meats and vegetables and whole grains and stuff. And then by the end of that other 26 days, your metabolism is reset. You can't graze on Big Macs.
All right. Hang on a second here, Jillian.
Grazing on Big Macs is my actual diet plan.
Yes. We're going to take some calls here. If you are on this bogus plan that they are ripping our guest off with, you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. If you've been fooled like Jillian has, we want to hear from you. Or if you are...
You guys know I'm a smart girl. It works.
If you're a medical professional and you want to weigh in on whether this is going to work or not. Now, Lisa May has been trying to say something, but no one can hear her. So
Lisa,
let's listen up.
I'm so sorry you don't feel good.
It's okay.
Lisa May wants to know, why does it kill your appetite? When she wrote that down to me, and I'm saying it doesn't. It makes Jillian believe that it kills her appetite, which is. Listen, here's the thing.
Do you think that her drinking this urine, do you think that helps at all?
HCG is very effective at balancing out your hormones. That's why guys use it when they come off of steroids. It does work.
Okay.
What I'm telling you is that the impact it has on a girl losing weight, especially following this diet, is practically negligible. Because the basis is that she's eating healthier and restricting your diet.
Calories.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all I
know is that it works for me. I have been on every single diet. I've done cabbage soup. I've done Dexatrim. I've done water pills. Trust me, I've done it all.
That's my point.
This diet is the first thing. In the first 9 days, I lost 10 pounds, and that wasn't water weight. I didn't feel crazy. I didn't feel like I was about to pass out. I didn't.
But
have
you can
headache.
Be Jillian, crazy without Jillian. Feeling crazy.
I am crazy.
Jillian, you summed it up in your delivery of why this is working. Is that you are always constantly trying all these various wacky kind of fringe diets. And so does – and I'm not pointing fingers at you. This is not an indictment on you.
We are.
This is boys and girls. This is men, women, and old. It's everybody is always trying to look for that kind of get thin quick way. And the bottom line is that any of these diets are going to work initially if you follow them. But it's only a matter of time before it creeps back up. And then those,
Clearly. And obviously, I am full ready to admit I need to go to a freaking gym.
All right.
I don't go to a gym because I'm working all the time.
Right.
Sure. As are you guys.
Yeah, so,
and working out blows. Yeah, you don't have to tell us. All right, listen. So you're into it. You like it. You believe in it. It's working for you. So that's Jillian's experience. Let's hear from you if you've tried this. Good results or bad, or if you've got an opinion on whether this should work or does work or doesn't work. We want to talk about it next at 1-800-520-1067. Jillian, thank you for coming on.
You're crazy.
Happy holidays.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat coming up in minutes. First, though, we're talking about our friend Jillian, who, what was she doing? She's drinking pee, basically, right?
Well, yeah. She says no.
R. Kelly style.
She says she had drops of female pregnant hormones.
HCG.
HCG.
HCG. Okay. So we only have time for a couple of minutes of phone calls here at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to a couple of people first who have tried it and loved it. Casey is on line 7. Hi, Casey. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. So you fell for this pregnant woman female urine scam, right?
I did, and it seriously worked.
It worked.
It did.
How many pounds did you lose?
I lost 17 pounds. I did 26 days, but I didn't eat 500 calories. I ate probably 750.
Oh, wow. You were really splurging.
I know. But the thing is, you really don't get hungry. It completely makes you, like she said, you don't think about eating. It doesn't, I don't know, it really does increase your metabolism.
Casey.
You don't think about it.
Casey, how long ago did you do this?
I did it in February 15th for 26 days.
And how much have you gained it back?
Seven pounds back? But I ate and drank like a crazy woman over the summer. So, of course I did. I went on a cruise. I went on a bunch of trips. So.
Casey, how much did you have to lose? I mean, I'm not trying to pick on you.
I went down to like a size 4'6" from about like an 8'10".
All right.
Strong.
Yeah.
So you really think it was the HCG, you really think, whose letters I can never get right.
Right.
You really think that's HCG. What made you not hungry?
HCG, I don't
know. I'm guessing because it really worked, and I have never been able to do a diet before. And
okay,
it came
thank
off
you.
So quick. Every morning, it was just like you could see. You just felt so much thinner.
Here's
I just want to water weight, too.
We could take calls all day from people who it worked for, and it doesn't work. It may have worked for it. Here's the bottom line.
You think it? She believes
Here's
it?
The bottom line. If it worked for her, I don't care if she's taking pixie sticks and she loses 17 pounds. If it worked for her, fine. Keep doing it. Take it all you want. What I'm saying to you is that scientifically, I'm telling you out of the gate, it's not because you're taking four drops of HCG a day. It just isn't.
It is.
And look, this isn't all dingy broads. In the muscle and fitness, there's 4,000 products that 17-year-old guys think they're taking that's going to make them grow up to Arnold Schwarzenegger proportions. It's not. Stop it.
It's not?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Amy. By the way, everyone on the phone, and the lines are packed, is a dingy broad, by the way. We've got Amy, Kim, Nicolette, Bobby, Casey, Debbie. Amy, you are a student of medicine or what? What do you know about this diet?
Yes, I'm actually a nursing student, have been studying physiology for about 3 years now.
All right.
Is a whole bunch of crap. HCG is a hormone that's released when you are pregnant. It's actually called human chorionic gonadotropin hormone.
Right.
Basically these girls are just cutting their calories so much. That's why they're losing their weight. It has no basis with the HCG is just making you feel a little better, maybe giving you, if you've ever heard of it, like pregnant brain, that you're actually like... You're actually not realizing my calories are literally cut in half.
Okay.
Anybody that's eating under 1,400 calories is insane.
Okay, but
that's
Amy, let me ask you this question, though.
If
it's helping her not feel hungry when she's only eating 750 calories, isn't that worth it?
That's half the battle in dieting is not being hungry.
It's okay.
Worth it, but good for your body.
That's the next thing.
Okay, Mike, why don't you stop talking and let Amy tell us why it's not good for your body, since she's actually studying this topic.
It's not good for your body because that you need at least 1,400 calories in your body a day. Anything under that, you're starving yourself. Your muscles will literally start to atrophy, and you don't have the calories to sustain normal bodily functions. And anybody, okay, your body works so this whole thing of injecting urine into yourself is, obtuse. Anyways, I mean, people inject something called human growth hormone, which I think has a little bit more basis than this because they actually synthesize that in a lab and they will inject you with that. Now, this isn't even synthesized; just some lady pees in a cup and you get it through the mail and drop it into your drink.
Hey, it was on the internet, Amy. I mean, it can be trusted.
Your kidneys work so hard to get rid of all of those toxins that are in your urine. Why are you going to put them back in your body? It's just like, it's just like your body's like, okay, well, I just spent 6 hours pushing through your kidneys.
We're out of time, maybe. So let me just summarize here. You're fat and you think everyone else should be too.
Oh, man. What's wrong with you?
To 100 pounds.
He doesn't know anything about you when he says that. All right. Thank you, Amy.
Amy, thank you for the call. Mike, I will give you the final word.
What
do you think?
I was going to say, look, if it works, fine. Do it all you want. But you know what?
It doesn't work.
Stimulants work well, too. But you really don't know what you're putting in your body. And it's at what cost?
That's why I use meth.
Yeah.
You can count on it.
I guarantee you'll lose weight if you get hooked on the glass pipe right now. I guarantee it.
Okay, so that's our
take-home message.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:41.
And now, a moment with Bean.
But here's the thing. Yes, she's a terrible singer, and she has a terrible style in the way she... much like this sentence.
That's good. That was a moment with Bean.
Whoa. I knew I was going out of flames as it happened. That one does not come as
a surprise
to me.
Can't you just hear the music in your head, the moment with
yes,
music?
Yes.
You can just hear it. You know it's going to happen. You can't save yourself. There's nothing you can do.
No, the car had gone off the cliff, and I was just waiting to hit the ground. That's all that was happening right there. Well done. All right. Kevin and Bean show for a Thursday wrap. Us here with one more look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Not to say I love me. But I love me some
you
me.
Do.
Yeah.
Love you.
Do you?
I do.
I don't really love me. I like me.
You love you.
I'd give me a handy. You know? But I wouldn't go all the way.
Right?
I'm just saying.
You wouldn't go all the way?
Just found out today that Hollywood Babylon, the podcast I do with Kevin Smith, was named by iTunes today as one of the best podcasts of 2010.
Fantastic.
Yeah!
Very How about nice. That?
Kudos.
That is very cool.
Let Kevin do some good work.
So thank you, Apple and iTunes, for your
Aw, being popular must be such a new experience for you.
It is, and I kind of dig it. After being on this show for so long, it's nice to do something that people like. It's kind of a breath of fresh air. Anyway, I'm inviting you Friday night to come see us do one of the best podcasts of 2010 at the John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal City Walk, 8 o'clock on Friday night, tomorrow night.
Are they predicting that for this Friday night as well?
I don't know. We may break our streak Friday, but you take your chances. It is 8 o'clock on Friday night. You can go to Babylon Ralph or BabylonKev.com for all the details and for tickets. And Psycho Mike's going to be there, and Dave the King of Mexico is going to be there. So please feel free to harass them if you see them in the crowd. I would like them to be harassed.
Buy Mike a drink.
Do that.
Right?
He likes the scissorp or the Four Loko. That's usually what he drinks at the clubs when he's in the club. That's what he likes.
He mixes up a mixed Forzerp.
Is Dave going to wear the cardigan with the fingerless gloves? Has he decided yet? Because Dave's spending a lot of time working on his holiday wardrobe lately.
I hope he rocks the cardigan with the bow tie, the matching bow tie. That's my favorite look.
That's his good look right there.
I got to tell you, Dave has spent the last month on Twitter polling people for what they think he should wear. Fingerless gloves.
Really?
Like, he'll put up pictures of different fingerless gloves.
Really?
And then get response. Really? That's what Bean's referring to.
Yes.
And
if you remember at the singles party in Vegas, he wore the cardigan with the bow tie.
Yeah, the bow tie cardigan.
My sister texted me the best thing she's ever said. She said, "Dave looks like Orville Redenbeener."
But that's what he's using.
Mine's good. The girls love it.
That's what he's using Twitter for, is to get some response on
because
what
the ladies love it.
What his outfit should be.
Because the girls love it when I dress like that. Did you get any play day from dressing like that? No, but I could if I wanted
to. I could have.
I wanted to.
I'm not telling. You'll never know.
Isn't the age at which you outgrow the cardigan with a bow tie about 9?
No, I mean, really? Yes, it's 9.
It did look like a sitting on Santa's lap outfit, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 9 and then it's 79. If you're right. If you're super old, you can wear it as well.
But you got to hold on to that 70-year gap. You got to be true to that.
That's an important 70
it
years.
It is. You do the right thing here, people. All right, let's talk about Christina Aguilera and her boobies.
All right.
Okay.
Yesterday, we all saw them. Semi-nude photographs of her were posted online. And the Huffington Post is saying it was a hacker that busted into Christina's personal stylist's account and downloaded the photos that were taken of Christina in her home while she and the stylist were working on some outfits.
Boobies! Is that what they call it, working on some outfits?
Which leave little to the imagination. One photo, she's just a couple of photos. She's got just pasties on with like a G-string dealio. Another, she's just in a robe. And I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned before, I like it because she looks all beat up.
Yeah.
She looks like all sex beat.
It's been a long night.
She's got bruised knees and like a little cut on her legs. She's got a Band-Aid on. Her hair's all messed up and stuff. She worked the Screaming Eagle.
With all the bruises and the disheveled outfit and her like stringy blonde hair, she looks like those Ukrainian sex slaves you see on like the MSNBC.
Exactly, that's what I'm talking about. That's why it's kind of dirty hot. She looks like a mail order bride that you would get from somewhere on the other side of the Iron Curtain.
But she does the Screaming Eagle?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize
that. She
loves
it. That's her favorite. You know what the Screaming Eagle is?
No.
It's
I'm afraid to ask.
It's airtight.
Right.
Plus, the girl entertains two other gentlemen with her hands.
That's a busy girl
that
right there.
That is a busy girl.
Wow.
That's a party.
Man.
Right there. All right, let's get back to more serious news, shall we?
Have you ever tried the fudge sprinkler?
Mark Wahlberg.
Looks like she did that too.
Mark Wahlberg talks about his new film, The Fighter, which I haven't seen yet, but by all accounts, it's just spectacular.
Looks great.
Everyone's just raving about this film. He said it took 4.5 years to finally get the film made. And so, because of that long process, which took much longer than he expected, he had to stay in top shape the entire time because he had no idea when they were going to start filming on that project. So for 4.5 years, he's been dieting and working out and getting ready to film the movie.
Don't you, after 2 months, go, all right, look, just give me some heads up.
The financing could have come through at any moment, and if that happens, sometimes you have to go right into production. So he was never sure when he was going to be needed to look like that, so he kept it up for 4.5 years.
So is he going to blob out now that film's in the can?
I would.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd be mainlining fudge.
Fudge sprinkler.
So you would knew which fudge sprinkler.
Aguilera also did most photos, apparently. He said if he had known it was going to take that long to make that movie, he never would have agreed to do it. But he thinks it was all worth it in the end. That's what Christina said. So
that is what she said, yes.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that film.
Alabama Hot Pocket.
She did that, too.
Katy Perry. Change her name. Yeah, got it in this time.
That's what she said.
Got it for being good, rape and pillage my news story.
Cincinnati bow tie.
She was on the Ellen DeGeneres show yesterday, and she said she's in the process of taking her husband Russell Brand's last name. So eventually and shortly, she will be known as Katy Brand.
It is odd when a high-profile celebrity doesn't just keep their stage name, even if they use their new real married name for personal reasons.
I agree.
You'd think she'd still go by Katy Perry, since that's how everybody knows her.
I agree, and I think it's a huge mistake. Because
but it won't
Americans
be a long-lasting one.
Aren't
so
that smart.
Right.
And so there will people who say, well, Katy Brand, I don't know her music. I don't know. I'm not going to buy that album because I don't know that person. There's going to be some percent, maybe small, but there's going to be a percentage of people who are thrown.
And then they'll see the picture and they'll go, I don't care who she is.
I remember those.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Plus, then when it breaks down, when it breaks up, then you have to go back to their name. You know, yes. You'll end up like Rebecca Romijn, who said, no, I want to be Rebecca Romijn Stamos. That's how I want people to know me. And then right. It got all confusing because right. Then she had to drop the Stamos. And
right.
It's a mess.
My wife changed her name for her first marriage. Will not change it for this one.
No, she shouldn't.
Which makes me a little nervous.
No, she's doing
which
right
makes me think her long-term plans may not necessarily
right.
Involve me.
Would you, yeah.
That's all I'm thinking, which I wouldn't blame
Donkey.
Her
Punch.
If they didn't, but... Kirsten Dunst.
Oh.
She is finally talking about a little trip to rehab she took 2 years ago, and she's setting the story straight. She says...
Teeth rehab?
It was not dental rehab,
teeth
no.
Rehab.
What would that be exactly, Kevin? Teeth rehab.
I don't really know.
She said there were a lot of vicious rumors going around that it was a drug and alcohol abuse that drove her to seek help. But she said it was actually a battle against depression. She right. was in a severe funk, lost herself, said, and no longer knew the difference between right and wrong or brushing and flossing. So that's got to be a problem. Right
angry.
There.
Dragon.
Yeah, I mean, angry dragon. That's something.
That too.
Don't want to screw around with. Eva Longoria, speaking of failed relationships, she is now looking to get all the body art that she got while married to Tony Parker removed.
Really?
She's got his jersey number on the back of her neck. That's got to be painful.
It's
painful
choice.
Enough to get it put there. I can't imagine what it's like to be removed. And 07-07-07, which she had inked on her wrist, that is the date they got married. Perhaps a date she doesn't know. No, she no longer wants to be reminded.
Yeah.
So that's how.
So much for great luck. Let's get married on 777, by the way.
Yes. And David Letterman last night had on Barbara Walters as a guest. I ordinarily would not recommend listening to Barbara Walters.
No, she's annoying.
Or form. But David took her to task for her list of the most interesting people of the year. She does that special every year.
Love it.
And he was like, Justin Bieber, really?
Love it.
The Jersey Shore cast? What are you doing, Barbara? They kept grilling her. But the one thing he could agree on was her choice of Sarah Palin. And I had no idea Dave felt this way. He might be being facetious here, but I can't tell.
Oh, Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin.
Third year we've had a
God run. Bless Sarah Palin. I desperately want this woman to run. I'm throwing all my support behind her. I want Sarah Palin to be president of the United States.
Yes,
don't you?
I don't think he means it.
No.
But perhaps.
But it would be
sorry,
so entertaining.
What? No.
No.
No, I don't think so.
It would be so entertaining because, look, President Obama, super boring.
Yes.
Right?
He's not funny
super
like,
boring.
Like
not,
President
not funny.
Bush was.
Not funny
right.
at all.
Not funny. We need funny.
She would be funny.
Yep.
I would like to see that comedy from Canada, but she would be funny. And from my home in Ireland, perhaps, I could watch the comedy that you guys would be going through.
Yeah.
Look, if Bean could do the show from he does it, I can do it from Ireland, right?
Yeah, true.
I'd probably
sure.
do it like in the early evening or something. I don't know what the time difference is, but it'd be much easier.
Absolutely. Than a pub every night.
That's true. I would do it from a pub. It'd be a live show every night.
Hey, I've thought about what it would be like to move to Europe and be on at 4 p.m. It's not a bad deal.
I believe he's serious.
He
too.
Is.
Yeah.
Roman Helmet.
Add some more talk show news. Jimmy Fallon had on Michael C. Hall as one of his guests. How good has Dexter been, by
Dexter's
the way?
It's been amazing.
It is barreling like an out-of-control freight train this season.
Really, really the best show on TV.
This Sunday, I think, is the finale. Oh, that Jordan Chase. Wait until I get my hands on him. I do not care for him. Anyway, he was on with Jimmy Fallon, and he mentioned the fact that he's a singer. He's done
Michael
some,
C. Hall. Yeah, he's done Broadway, right?
Broadway, musical comedy, and that kind of stuff. So Jimmy had him sing a little number, but had him sing it as Dexter, in character.
Oh.
So if you ever wondered what Dexter would sound like singing a Christmas carol, this is it.
He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's gonna find out whose cheek he should slice. Santa Claus will kill you if you're bad.
Nice. They got that going for him.
Santa Claus will kill you if you're bad.
See, that's a Santa that demands respect. That right is. There.
Ralph, there is a Facebook campaign to get Dexter, to get Michael C. Hall to host Saturday Night Live. It worked so well for Betty White. There are a lot of fans of his who are saying, hey, this guy's multi-talented. He can sing, he can dance, he does comedy. Please, let's get him on SNL. He's never done it. So
that is a great idea. And
I think he'd be good, too.
It's an episode I would actually watch. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Kirk Douglas is 94 years old today. Say what you want about Kirk Douglas. He is tough. He's
no
a tough
kidding.
Old bird.
Still alive.
Still
yeah.
alive. Had the stroke. Still's out there. I saw him at over Thanksgiving working at a soup kitchen feeding the homeless.
Wow.
He was dishing out food at 94 years old. What a guy. Dick Van Dyke, 82. Nope. Dick Van Patten, 82 years old today. Different Dick Van.
Sure.
Beau Bridges, brother of Jeff Bridges, a very talented actor, was the dad on My Name is Earl for many seasons. He is 69 years old today. John Malkovich celebrates his 57th birthday. Donny Osmond is 53. Still selling out there in Vegas with his sister Marie, by the way, I believe it.
Very
or not.
Popular.
Inexplicable.
Felicity Huffman's 48. Brian Bell of Weezer turns 42. Jacob Dylan of the Wallflowers is 41. Cara DioGuardi is 40 years old. Trey Cool of Green Day. 38 years old, and Jesse Metcalf from Desperate Housewives as well. He is 32 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Mark Wahlberg, the star of The Fighter, on the program tomorrow. We have
Sandy Dolphin.
We have Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage.
Arabian Goggles.
We have Adam West.
Boston.
Pancake.
Okay. We have Petros Papadakis in studio.
Steaming Porpoise.
We have the movie beat because it's Friday, and we have your tickets in the pit for the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Tony.
Dan. Za.
How about
what?
Cat
Tony
Corbett?
Danza. What kind of sex position is that?
How about Cat Corbett up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the new one from My Chemical Romance called Sing. Also some Nirvana, System of a Down, Incubus, Brandon Flowers. You know what to do when you hear that. Be caller 21 to win your tickets to join us this weekend at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. It's all straight ahead next.